It's showtime.
Yeah, something like that. Thanks to Dave number 11 for the special election coverage intro. Thank you, Dave. Thanks a bunch, man. A little something different just to get the program started this evening. This is election night coverage 2020. I'm sorry we don't have any stirring martial music or chyrons or Fox Attack Blondes or anything like that. No, we just got what we got here, and we're going to get through this evening together. Of course, by the time 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time rolls around, we're probably not going to know diddly squat, but we will converse over the next 3 hours or so, just as a means of sort of keeping our equilibrium and our equanimity as we wait for the response, wait for the results, see how it goes from there. And just in terms of scheduling, I'm filling in for Malloy this evening. So that means that at 9 o'clock, we'll have to clear the stream here. But here's my thinking on that. We're going to do Friday on the front porch tonight. As Sparky pointed out, the front and back porches will be humming right along. But the link is up at headon.live. And if you go there, you can click that, and it'll carry you right through to the Skype group that we use for Friday on the front porch that will be used for Tuesday election night on the front porch. Did I do the hi, I'm Bob part yet? Yeah, hi, I'm Bob. And we'll knock off at the usual 8 o'clock here, and then probably I will restart the conversation, because we might know a little bit more by 10 p.m. It seems like there's a lot of people out there that are feeling very confident for Joe Biden. And I don't like to count unhatched chickens. And penguins is practically chickens. So I'm just going to remain nervous and a bit unsettled. And so we'll do the 3 hours of the program. And then we'll knock off for 2 hours, and the back porch conversation will continue. And then I'll try to pick back up at 10 o'clock if there's interest in that. And we'll see how it plays. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so thanks very kindly to our subscribers for this third day of the month. That means thanks very kindly to Janice, and thank you to Bill in PA. Thank you to Stephen. Thank you to Gene and Ann across the pond. Thank you to John. And thank you to Michael. Thank you all very kindly. Brand new subscriber, Michael. Thank you for jumping in and being part of the sponsorship that keeps this little non-capitalist, non-profit-seeking broadcast enterprise afloat. Thank you very kindly indeed. And thanks also to Yuki. We have our usual $300 a night fundraising goal this evening, and Yuki has kindly put a $150 challenge on the table. Yuki's election night $150 challenge. If that's met, we will have met our fundraising goal for this evening, and that will be fan-freaking-tastic. Thank you, Yuki, for doing that. And, well, if you'd like to see your 5 become 10, or your 10, 20, your 20, 40, or your 50, 100, up to $150. Yuki is doubling your money this evening. And that is extremely helpful. Thank you again, Yuki. Thank you very kindly. Yeah, I know. Billable Rick says, Bob, stop telling us how unsettled you are. You need to drink some rock gut tequila to ease your nerves. I'm not going to do that. I'm trying to be good. But I'll tell you what, and I hope I'm not tempting the goddess of irony with this or anything. I have one lonely can of... Stop that. I hear you. I hear you thinking. I have one lonesome little can of Diet Grapeco in the refrigerator. You know, you can't... I don't think you can get it any much further north than, say... you know, 10 or 15 miles into Tennessee from Alabama, maybe a little further, but you sure can't get it here. And in lieu of champagne or anything else, I've got my one can of Diet Grapeco, and I've been holding it in reserve for just such an event as this. So if there's good news tonight, I will pop that can of Diet Grapeco. And I will be happy, damned happy, to do it. So we'll see. We'll see. What's that, Ralphs? No need to watch the returns Tuesday. This is how it'll go down from Democratic Underground. The drunken Irishman at Democratic Underground says, for you old timers out there, you'll remember my calling the election mere days before the results to 2008 and 2012. I didn't do 2016 because I honestly didn't know what to make of the election and I didn't want to taint my, he said taint, 2-0 record. Let's see. Well, this is, polls close. And it'll happen, you know, within the time span of this program. Polls close at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time in Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, South Carolina, Virginia, and Vermont. Then, at 7:30 Eastern, North Carolina, Ohio, and West Virginia close. 8 o'clock Eastern, Alabama, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Missouri, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Tennessee, and Washington, D.C. all close. The prediction coming from the drunken Irishman is that Trump will have a lead in Indiana and South Carolina, but it'll be too early to call in the 7 o'clock hour. Kentucky will be called for Trump and Vermont for Biden. Virginia will be categorized as too early to call, but with a Biden lead. At 7:03 p.m., my, this is granular. 7:03 p.m., Trump will have 8 electoral votes to Biden's 3. Around 7:30, Talibandiana will be called for Trump. No surprise, Trump will have 19 electoral votes to Biden's 3. Trump will win West Virginia. That's 5 electoral votes. North Carolina and Ohio will be too close to call, and it'll be 24-3 at 7:30 Eastern Time. In the 8 o'clock hour, Trump will be declared the winner in Alabama, Mississippi Stan, Oklahoma Stan, and Tennessee Stan. Joe Biden will be declared the winner in Connecticut, Delaware, his home state, Illinois. He will get 3 out of 4 electoral votes in Maine. He will be declared the winner. Biden will in Maryland and Massachusetts, in New Jersey, Rhode Island, and Washington, D.C. Florida will have been counting ballots for an hour, and it'll be too close to call. So will Pennsylvania be. In the 8 o'clock hour, the states too early or too close to call are Georgia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Missouri, Florida, New Hampshire. and the 2nd Congressional District in Maine. At 8:30, Arkenstan will close, and the doors will barely be shut before they declare that Donald Trump is the winner in Arkenstan. That will be no surprise. I'm surprised we haven't already declared him the winner in West Virginia, frankly. Missouri will be called for Trump just before 9 o'clock, and he'll have 82 electoral votes. At 9 o'clock Eastern Time, polls will have closed in Arizona, Colorado, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Nebraska, New Mexico, New York, North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, Wisconsin, and Wyoming, and Trump will be declared the winner in Kansas, Louisiana, Nebraska with 4 out of 5 electoral votes, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming. And Biden will be the winner in, yes, I know, Randy and PA reminding us, Florida has 2 time zones, Eastern and Central. Biden will be declared the winner in New York, Minnesota, New Mexico, and Colorado. Minnesota, New Mexico, and Colorado will be too early to call, but with a Biden lead. Arizona will be too close to call. Michigan too close to call, but a good amount of the state will have already started as a chunk of the state's polls closed an hour prior, similar to Florida. Wisconsin will be too close to call. Biden will have a lead in the Nebraska 2nd. And so shortly after the 9 o'clock hour, according to this prognosticator, Biden will have 120 electoral votes and Trump will have 109 with 203 not yet in. So somewhere along in there, Trump will declare, "I'm winning bigly, very bigly in Pennsylvania." Yeah. So at 10 o'clock Eastern, the polls will close in Iowa, Montana, Nevada, and Utah. And, going through the entirety of this thing, thank you, Ralphs. Somewhere around midnight, the prognosticator expects to see that Michigan is called for Biden. And the rest of it is prognostication as to how the networks will behave and how Trump will misbehave. Well, it'll be interesting to see if it plays out that way. But it's already been a weird day. The shenanigans are already at work. You've got we've got a guy in Brooklyn threatening to kill people. No need to try to even guess about how he voted, because he showed up at a polling place with his Trump vehicle and his Trump flag. And outside the Park Slope polling site, outside of MS 88 on 7th Avenue near 19th Street, dude says, "Really? Come and say it to my face. I'll put you into hospital." And apparently he was running his mouth through the better part of the day.
"Really? Come in and say it to my face.
I just did.
Oh, get out of my face. I'll put you in the hospital.
You are so quick to hide behind the police."
He is threatening physical violence. Did you hear that? He's threatening physical violence. Is this okay?
Yeah, because the cops aren't going to arrest the maggot. Yeah. And that harkens back to yesterday when the two deputies beat the stuffings out of a Biden supporter down in Florida. As far as the logistics of the evening are concerned, at least this first segment, I figure we'll go to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable group fairly early. And got a couple of special friends coming along. Over on the stress line, Guy James will join us here in about a half an hour. And probably somewhere around 6 o'clock or so, Dan Fisher will jump in with a report from the streets of New York. And, of course, any members of the group, and feel free to come on in and talk about what you saw or didn't see today. And thank you to Renee. Renee just jumped in on Yuki's election night challenge, so there's $145 to go on that. Thank you. Thank you, Renee, so very much. And we have a dispatch. Bob, I have arrived in PA. This was earlier this morning, and it's a beautiful day. Giraffe has been looking out the window at some of the maggots, but he is riding with Biden the whole way to PA. Happy birthday to Chris in Portland, and hopefully by Pacific time we'll have some very favorable results to report to the West Coast. Ellie called me and said that her estranged son finally returned her phone call and agreed to take her to the polls to vote. I guess when she informed her son that she was going to accept a ride from a strange man with a big giraffe, the estranged son, as opposed to the strange giraffe, strange man, big giraffe, the estranged son decided that he better take his mama to vote. What's that, Giraffery? Giraffery muses, people are strange sometimes, but if nothing else, at least our efforts might have pushed the voting envelope, and Ellie will have a nice day with her son at the voting booth. This has been a truncated version of Joey's Journal for Voting Day, Election Day, Tuesday, the 3rd day of November, 2020, with Giraffery knocking on doors and rocking the vote here in southwestern PA. Kyle reports, I voted right around noon today with my family. The polling place is literally in my neighborhood, and I've never seen a line there ever. Today, there was a line of about 15 to 20 people, and it was growing steadily behind us. I know it's only a small town, rural southwest Ohio, and probably doesn't indicate anything, but I've never seen so many people engaged in our little area of this country. That's nice. I just hope it's not for the reason I fear it is. I was talking with my buddy Bo earlier today, and he's in the greater Cleveland area. And he said, you know, the Cleveland area is reliably Democratic, but that's about 2.2 million people. And he says there's about 2.2 million people in the greater Columbus area, and they vote like the Republicans they are. And then there's Cincinnati, which might as well be Montgomery, Alabama. So, Kyle, I think your concerns are well-founded. Jimmy says merely, I'm in anticipation. I see you shiver in anticipation. Say it! Patient. Yes. Halloween's over, but there's never a bad time for a Rocky Horror reference. Thank you to Dave and the Blind. Christine and I are sending a $50 donation to the mailbox. She's going to drop it off at the post office tonight. Should be there by Friday. Of that 50, 10 comes from the guys at the shop down at Crazy Dave's Crucifixion, Self-Crucifixion Emporium. And the guys at the shop would like to ask me not to sing. Signed Dave and Christine in our individual blinds. P.S. Christine has decided to study the Quran, or the Karen. Yeah. Christine has decided to study the Karen and her natural habitat. Enjoy. Dave says, I'm going to go get drunk now. I have a feeling there were a lot of people that adopted that attitude today. And Lord knows, it is more than understandable. Cowbell to Giraffery for pushing the voting envelope, yes. And the strange man with the big giraffe, that's cowbell too. Steve says Columbus, Ohio is not Republican. At most, it's mixed. Well, but Cincinnati is still pretty much Montgomery, Alabama. So if you give half of Columbus to Cleveland and half of Columbus to Cincinnati, Cincinnati's still, and there's all that rural area. I heard earlier today that the maggot campaign is saying that Ohio is a lock for them. Yeah. Oy. So let's see what, let me check in here. And yes, Sentient says, cheer up, Bob. It's not all a nihilist road to nowhere. Life goes on. We shall see. And out of the Randy Radar says Greg Palast has gone full on doomer. I had to shut him out. Well, it's easy to be that way. And look, this could end up not to our liking. What we all desperately want is a clear and convincing victory tonight so that, you know, say a million people can surround the White House and start screaming, get the fuck out. Yeah. It, Kyle says, to be fair, I saw more signs for Biden and Democratic candidates here this year than I ever have before. I think some people are waking up at least. And Columbus is really weird. I'll take a really weird. And of all the bizarre stuff, and I guess he doesn't even realize that there's an oblique West Virginia connection in this story. It wasn't long back that Keith Olbermann, progressive media hero, returned to the airwaves with his worst person in the world. And I've enjoyed what he's done so far. Oh, but today did he get himself in a world of shit on Twitter. He saw a video. Fox and Friends hosts are forced to defend Fox News as Trump bashes the network for not being sycophantic enough. Yeah, that's right. COVID Caligula called Fox today and pissed and moaned about how they had not kissed his ass to his satisfaction. Which then led Keith Olbermann to refer to Donald Trump. Yes, at real Donald Trump has always been, will always be, and on the day of his bid for re-election still is a whiny little Kunta Kinte. And I guess Keith's just old enough now that, what he thought was a clever reference from back in the 70s, and he explained himself later that he was trying to call him and explained that the modern parlance, the modern vernacular is to say Donald Trump is a see you next Tuesday. Tracy taught me that piece of vernacular. But again, damned if there wasn't a West Virginia connection, because the governor of the state of West Virginia, as you know, because you heard about it on this program, is none other than Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, West Virginia's only billionaire. And back in his heyday, before he got caught using it one time too many, he would regale crowds by telling them, I talk to God a lot, and sometimes I ask him, I says, God, how come you made me rich and made me Jim Justice and didn't make me Kunta Kinte? And God says, he says, Jim Justice, I made you rich and made you Jim Justice and not Kunta Kinte because I got things for you to do in this world. Well, I don't think Jim Justice and Keith Olbermann were putting the phrase to the same work. But Olbermann did, upon having things explained to him, he did apologize. And it wasn't any of those, I apologize if anyone was offended. No. I apologize, which is how you do it. I apologize for my previous subtweet of this. I was using an old 70s, 80s technique for calling somebody a C star, star, star without writing or saying C asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Just using a sound alike to call Trump a C asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Deleting previous largely because this one clarifies the C asterisk, asterisk, asterisk part. I imagine he is probably being dragged now in terms of, well, okay, cool. Why did you feel the need to use that particular term? Because it's a totally different word, say, for our friends up over, down under in Oz. But it is the verbal form of gender-based nuclear warfare here. So, that. But there will probably be even more bizarreness as the evening goes on. According to the Secretary of State in Michigan, this election for the presidency has 77,483 spoiled ballots. Yeah. Spoiled because of printing errors. And then there were the ones that voters intentionally spoiled so they could fill out their absentee ballots again. Tracy Wimmer, a spokesman for the Michigan Secretary of State's office, says, "We do not have a breakdown on spoiled reasons, but the biggest thing to focus on is that spoiled does not mean rejected. In no instance with a spoiled ballot does that mean someone did not vote unless they actively chose not to." There were several thousand spoiled ballots because of printing errors. And so the old one is spoiled and a new one is printed. Or the clerk issues a signature warning to the voter, and when they go in to cure the error, they elect to spoil the ballot and cast a new one. Or they were going to vote by mail and spoiled their ballot and changed their mind so that they would vote because they were worried about their ballot not being delivered. Because, again, the United States mail has been weaponized by this criminal presidency. Jimmy says, a clear victory or preparing for what comes next. Keep on serving. Okay, we'll do. Kyle tells us, Maggot Father's prediction, Joe Biden wins as a punishment from God. Yes, God is mad at us, and that's why he's going to let the guy who is actually a devoted follower of him become president. All righty then. And thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. Jeremy just doubled his money, so that means that we are down to 140 to go on Yuki's election night challenge. Thank you again to Jeremy, and thank you to Yuki. Gotta wonder, says James in Illinois, how many of those dragging Olbermen are saying, why are you being a racist while simultaneously supporting the old racist? Sounds possibly opportunistic. Well, yeah. Then again, I would guess that given the context, there was probably pretty nearly an equal mix. I mean, I first read the story and I was like, what was the point even? And then I had to have it explained to me in the text. He was trying to make a reference to that vulgarity for female genitalia. Well, they're ready for the returns down in South Carolina, Stan. David says, we got four boxes of Buffalo Wild Wings and two cases of cold Heinekens. Whew, I hope you got them extra hot and spicy, because that's what makes the Heinekens even better. Yes, indeed. Billable Rick. I believe that Ohio has chosen the winning presidential candidate in every election since 1964, so if it goes for the commander in Maggot and Biden wins the Electoral College, it will have broken that streak. That needs broken. I know. Kyle says, I couldn't make this shit up if I tried, Bob. Nobody'd believe you if you were made. No. It's the outrageousness of it that makes it absolutely believable. Nobody could come up with, nobody could just make that up. And of course, as we all focus entirely on the election here today, let's remember that a record-breaking or record-setting year is still upon us in terms of the hurricane season. Hurricane Eta, Greek letter Eta looks like an H, is making landfall on the Nicaraguan coast in Central America. Life-threatening storm surge, catastrophic winds, flash flooding, landslides across portions of Central America, according to the National Hurricane Center. Heavy rain from the outer bands of Eta are already causing rivers to overflow across Central America. And as of an hour and a half ago, the center of Hurricane Eta was about 15 miles south-southwest of Puerto Cabezas, Nicaragua. At one point, its sustained winds hit 150 miles an hour. Earlier this afternoon, sustained winds of 140 miles an hour with higher gusts. That's Hurricane Eta. Yeah. Let's check the Greek alphabet again. Used to have the whole darn thing memorized. Yeah, Zeta, Eta. I think we're going to skip Theta, but if we get one more named storm, Iota, which looks like the capital letter I, that'll break the record. That'll be 29 named storms in a season. And who knows? Iota's a possibility. Kappa maybe is a possibility. Jesus. But again, the people who are running to the polls to vote for Nitwit Nero are quite certain that climate change is a Chinese hoax to, I don't know, destroy our golf courses or something. Yeah, you're confused. Lee in New York says, hot and spicy Heinekens? No, no, no. The wings are hot and spicy. That's what makes the ice-cold Heinekens so good. Putting out the fire. The far. On a follow-up, a few days back, you know, we talked about how Brett Kavanaugh, who loves beer and is particularly fond of benefactors who mysteriously and anonymously pay off his home mortgage and his baseball ticket debts and his credit card bills, had a massive screw-up in his concurring opinion denying an extension for ballot counting in Wisconsin. Wisconsin cannot accept any ballots that are mailed in that arrive after today. But he did have to edit his own concurring opinion to fix his monumental screw-up. Actually, screw-ups. And it was Wednesday when the Secretary of State of Vermont wrote to the clerk of the Supreme Court of the United States requesting the error be corrected. You know, I guess that's a good thing. But that concurring opinion should have an asterisk, since asterisks have been already made it into the program. And the asterisk should say, concurring opinion subsequently corrected after massive errors of fact by a sitting justice of the Supreme Court, but was only corrected after it was pointed out to him. Oh, well, maybe he'd had a tough night wrestling the pony keg the night before. Sure, why not? Oh, you're in rare form tonight, Lee. Wait, Heineken's have wings? I thought that was Red Bull. Or is it they give you wings? Now I'm confused, Lee. Yes, Kyle's in agreement. Climate change is a liberal commie hoax created by the Chinese government, supported by Obama and Biden, so they both take over the world working with the Chinese Communist Party. Get it right, Bob. Well, we regret the error, of course. And so we are into the first half hour of the program. Voting is still going on all over the country. As we wait to see whether we, well, what did Franklin say? A republic if you can keep it. The republic is in tough shape. But if there's any good news out of this, it is that at least it, while we think there's a fighting chance the Democrats can take the Senate by at least a vote or two, the House is really not in contention. In fact, it's expected that the Democratic majority in the House of Representatives will gain anywhere between 5 and 20 seats this evening. Can you imagine adding 20 more seats to the majority? That would be fan-freaking-tastic. Beautiful. So, here in a few minutes, I'll get Guy James on the line. And again, if you'd like to be part of this evening's extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation, head over to headon.live and just click on the big box at the top of the page, and it'll carry you right into the conversation. Let's check in. Let's check in with Sparky. How are you, Sparky? Happy Election Day, I think.
My election day was a month ago.
Well, so was mine. Mine was over a month ago. But this is the day that it all ends. And hopefully it ends happily.
Yeah, I got a new great... I got had some great pollen. He's got itchy spots, and I spray him with this stuff, and now he sees the bottle and runs away.
Oh, it must not feel particularly good.
Instead of fucking me. I don't know, but I just got it yesterday. But he's been chewing on himself, and chewed out a spot on his tail and on his back. Just trying everything I can think of.
Are they hot spots?
Well, that's what this spray is for.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, if he chews at it, it may be time for the cone.
Right.
If he chews at it, it may be time for the cone of shame.
Yeah, how much does one of those things cost?
Well, I mean, they're plastic, for God's sakes. Probably make one.
I don't have anything around here that I can make it out of. Surprisingly. I got a lot of metal around here.
Yeah, I don't think you can bolt it on there, Sparky. I think Grady would like that even less.
Yeah. So anyway, did you see that where Trump left all those people in Pennsylvania without buses?
Yep. Left them out in the cold. Did it again.
I saw a picture online. I posted it on somebody's post. It said he left him, and I said, there's a picture of the crowd going down the street, and I said, it looked like lemmings looking for a cliff.
And you know, some of them were disabled. Mind. If you're a diehard maggot, why? But then again, you know, the Rona isn't real. It's all made up, you know. Hell, the guy who's running for attorney general in Talibandiana is going to be watching the returns from home tonight because, well, he was a mask hole and he went around without a mask on, and now he's got the Dondemic. Oops. Couldn't happen to a dumber guy.
Well, there's a lot of them out there. I saw my first Trump truck yesterday with a big flag on it. Big jacked up truck with a big Trump flag.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I was at the grocery store, there was a guy had a big old Trump Biden poster on it. I haven't seen too much other around here. I don't think people like to admit they're Trump fans.
Yeah, maybe not. Arthur wants you to know, according to Google, a cone of shame is somewhere between $10 and $20.
Okay.
Hey, Sparky, it's Darlene. Your pup, you said, has got hot spots. You sure it's not fleas?
I keep giving him flea baths, and he still keeps chewing.
Okay. Because sometimes, you know, they can be very allergic to flea saliva. He's your only pup, right? Or do you have a cat?
No cats. I hate cats.
Yeah, I'm not a cat fan either, but he's the only pet you have.
Yeah, and I inherited him.
Okay, because I have two small dogs, and one, when they get fleas, which they haven't had in several years, and I like to use diatomaceous earth, but not the one you put in the pools. It's got to be the really good the pet-friendly diatomaceous earth that usually will kill fleas. But my Japanese chin, she's like the host. She'll get the fleas, and then they stay on her, but then they jump to my Shih Tzu, who is deathly allergic to flea saliva, and he's a seek and destroyer. So he suffers more. And he'll bite and go after and gnaw himself like raw to get at the fleas. And they bite him and they jump back to the Japanese chin and to Mia. And so I've been giving them NexGard for several years now. And it works really, really well. They haven't had any problems. It's expensive, but it's worth it. So I was just wondering, you know, if it was something like fleas, you know, beyond hot spots.
Hey, Sparky?
Yeah.
Is it possible that your dog is allergic to that soap?
The flea soap?
Yeah.
Could be.
Maybe. It's a different brand I'm using. Using that Adams flea.
That's a great point, you know. And sometimes the natural, holistic things, you know, like you put like little bandanas that are soaked in the holistic, natural, you know, I don't know, liquid stuff that can be even more potent for your animals. Sometimes they can be overwhelming for a dog. So if it's like a holistic or natural based thing, sometimes they can be too powerful.
No, I just keep trying other things.
I guess we'd rather talk about fleas in the election.
Well, you know, it's six of one, half dozen of another, fleas, maggots, you know.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Steve.
I kind of tuned in late. I was wondering, did you see that email? What Trump's remark at his campaign office was?
Yeah, I did.
That's when I saw that. That really struck me as odd.
What was it? And what's the deal with the Pope, Steve?
What do you mean?
Your avatar, somebody's... Pope Frank.
Oh. Oh, well, who the hell else am I going to put? It's either that or Her Majesty. So chill out.
I think I'd rather have Her Majesty. I'm just asking. Don't get a... Wow, somebody is on the defensive.
No, I'm not on the offensive.
Jeez, you chill out, dude.
No.
Chill out, dude. I'm just asking. You usually have a...
You want to fight? You want to fight?
You will not win, dude. I'm just saying, you usually have an intellectualized reason for your, you know, avatar. So I thought I would ask, you know?
No, I don't like many. You know what? I have this weird fascination with monarchy. And, you know...
No!
And the Pope is actually, he's an absolute monarch. That's why the Vatican cannot be a member of the UN. It can be an advisor, an observing country or something like that. It's an absolute monarchy, and absolute monarchies cannot be members of the UN unless, of course, you have lots of oil and you're called Saudi Arabia.
Bingo! I was going to say, wait, what?
If I had to choose, just real quick, Bob, if I had to choose, I would say Queen Elizabeth is far more progressive than Pope Frank.
Well, she's also...
this conversation took an interesting turn.
Well, okay.
See their avatars.
What he said was, Darlene, what Trump said was, that's what you asked me, right?
Yeah.
He went to talk to the supporters. He says, you know, it's not easy. How did he say it? It's not easy to lose.
Well, the setup was that a reporter asked him, had he written an acceptance speech or a concession speech? And he said, I haven't written either. You know, do that when the time comes. Of course, it's not easy to lose. I've never liked losing.
Is that what it was? It just.
And then he caught himself and said, but we're going to have a great night.
I'm going to be, and again, maybe I'm reading too. I think that's a tell.
Oh, I think someone has, yeah, it playing on the word tell. I think someone has told him there's a substantial likelihood you're going to lose tonight. And, you know, melanoma's back in the whatever portion of the White House she keeps the coffin with the soil from the home country in. Please let him lose. I want to move back to New York. New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay.
Bob, she's not in a coffin. She hangs from a beam upside down.
Well, she has to get in the coffin with the dirt from the home soil, the dirt from the home country once in a while just to rejuvenate, Steve. I mean, come on.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking when she turned back into a bat. That's what I was thinking.
It can be either or. And, don't tell me you guys are mansplaining a female vampire.
Well, I just remember. I remember the movie. Was it The Lost Boys? Was that a vampire movie with Kiefer Sutherland?
Yes.
And some other people.
And by the way, Arnold and PA jumped in and said, "I wonder what the Kanye vote will be." And I had completely not even thought about Kanye.
So my question wasn't answered, Steve. What's the deal with Pope Frank?
I just told you I have a thing for monarchs.
Okay.
And you're kind of in pomp and circumstance.
I don't quite know why.
You changed it over long about the same time that. That he called for civil unions too.
Well, but that wasn't the reason, because that's not a big deal to me. I mean, you read into him a little bit, and you find out that that's not, you know, it's not unusual. But so I mean, he's done it 20 years ago. I guess it's different when you do it as the main guy versus, you know.
Right, because he's infallible when he's speaking ex cathedra.
So I guess the bookies are have given Trump. I was reading some article about the bookies that they're basically saying Trump had some sort of a massive, upswing or improvement in his odds in the last 12 hours or some ridiculous thing like that. So I guess they're betting on this horse race.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's a football game, a basketball game, or a presidential election. The job of a bookie is always to get the money right.
But Biden is still ahead, but he lost.
I don't put in.
He dropped, you know.
And let me tell you something. Go back and look at 2016, and you'll find an article where Betfair, which is probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, had paid out those who bet on Hillary before the election, even before election day, because they were so certain it was going to be her.
Yeah, she was over 80 in the 80 percentile range, wasn't she?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Betfair said.
I think it was. That's what this article today said.
I think, look, there's a couple things that I find fundamentally different about this campaign versus 2016. First of all, if you look at the polls then, it was after Comey letter is when they really started to tighten. I thought this was a very strange election season because everything seems so stable. It just stuck. If you look at it, it's just odd to me that you really didn't have, and that probably had a lot to do with that. As polarizing as Hillary and Trump were, Trump is way more polarizing by himself now that he has 4 years of disaster under his belt. So, mm-hmm. but that's one thing. The other thing too is, look, and like it or not, a lot of people just could not vote for Hillary, and that's why they voted for Trump.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Parker.
Don't forget, these are men too. Versus a woman.
What Danny Fish 64 is up to? He's got his hand raised.
Oh, I didn't see. Is Dan there?
I'm here. I just thought I would wait and shut up for a change and listen to people. Thank you for who is that, Sparky?
Yeah, that's Sparky.
Sparky, I have to say, has anybody compared your the timbre and diction of your voice to Carlton, your doorman of the old Rhoda television show? Because it's very Carlton, your doorman, who was played by Lorenzo Music, who also did the voice for Garfield the cat in the animated Garfield show. Has anybody ever told you that? Because you sound like Garfield to me, or that person, Lorenzo Music.
No.
Good call, though.
No. Anyway, it's a very dry and very erudite delivery and low-key, as you are making an impression on me. I had to raise my hand, and thank you again for recognizing that. First of all, just to say, Lost Boys was with Kiefer Sutherland and a young up-and-coming actor named Jason Patrick, who was supposed to be the next big thing and never quite made it, and Diane Wiest in a supporting role. And I think that was probably the first of the pretty teen vampire movie craze. Now that's all you got are pretty teens since Twilight. But those were the first kind of sexy young
After that comes the film version of, or, the original version, that is, of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right. And that came in the 90s with Christy Swanson. And Paul Rubens, but then the series, of course, which is a lot, most people I think feels better than the movie. Certainly, my daughter does; it's her favorite show of all time. But I come not to give my usual pop cultural deflection and distraction because this is a pretty big night, and I don't think we need to talk about Top Cat versus Hong Kong Fooey. I think we need to keep our eyes on the prize. And that's what I've come to contribute some small form of contribution toward. And I don't know how long I'm going to stay, by the way. I don't think there's going to be another 4-hour marathon visit.
But that was a dandy.
That was a dandy. Thank you. But yeah, I mean, I think and I'm terrible with names. Whoever was just speaking before me, I do think it's futile to keep trying to compare and contrast 2016 with 2020. The woman who's part of our discussion so far, it's totally nail on.
Yeah,
the
that's
head
Darlene.
There. Darlene, the Darlene.
The Darlene, yes.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm nervous as hell. Of course I am. You know, I haven't had alcohol in at least 10 years since my heart stuff started happening. But boy, I wish I had it.
I'm the Darlene you mansplained.
I know.
And we became Facebook friends and you were so contrite, but it was okay. It was okay. I
man-shamed myself. At least I caught myself midway through the broadcast, actually.
I got some poll results.
Let's hear it. Yeah.
So only like 4% of the vote, but Trump was leading by 61% to 30 something.
Yeah, in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he lost Dixville Notch 5-0. You know, that's the first community that reports in.
Yeah. I think it's what, 5 people? Yeah, it's 5 people in the entire community, and they're the first to report in. But I also called to ask about you, Bob. How are you doing with the smokes? You staying off the cigs today? I mean,
it's a little nervousy, Dan. But today is day 50.
And let there be a day 51.
How long did we go till you stop telling us what day it is?
Oh, I don't know till I lose track. But, you know, people apparently want to know. So I thought it was kind of odd that on the day that the 50 states vote for president, I've gone 50 days without a cigarette.
You planned that, Bob, didn't you?
You know, I wish I was that devious. No, I wish I had that degree of attention to detail. That would be positively German.
It would be, yes, exactly.
Billable Rick, out in L.A., Dan, Billable.
Yes.
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Hi, how are you? I'm finally integrating myself
I love your mastery of the movie arts.
Oh, well, thank you.
Wonderful.
I wish I knew other more relevant things, like, you know, pretty much anything else besides that, but it's what I got,
well,
so it's
okay.
What I got.
You know, we need people like you. You know, we all have to specialize.
Well, I got to tell you, Dan. There's not a lot of market out there for radio guests to come in and discuss their fascination with differential calculus. You're ahead of the game, not behind the curve.
Too, with the rest of you guys, have you been distracting yourself? How have you been distracting yourself? How have you been keeping your nerves calm for the past, let's say, week? Because, you know, I've been like Mr. Calm and Mr. Rational up until the past couple of days, and then suddenly I've just had this great desire to do nothing but binge The Wire, the complete series The Wire, for the third time now, just to have something to not, you know, to keep my mind off of everything else, to not keep looking at 538 and everything else. What are you guys doing?
TikTok videos of dogs and cats.
Yeah, TikTok.
Living together?
I took the day off from work and just kind of tried to nurture myself.
Oh, somebody still has to work.
Well,
I forget about that all the time.
Nurturing yourself.
How does one nurture oneself? I mean,
try golf when I can.
That's a great question.
What do you do if you are that particular one? How did the past 8 hours get spent besides in a generalized nurturing fashion? What specific things were done that create such a nurturalization? If I may ask,
I just this is Darlene. I just took my time. Well, because I have a disability anyway, I wasn't having a good morning physically. So I just allowed myself to take as much time as I needed to work my body into the day. Took a nice, long, warm, hot shower. You know, took care of the pups. Snacked. Like, I still have Halloween candy, so I kind of binged a bit on that. I kept checking in on the news feeds, the Apple news feeds, just to see what was going on. And then when I saw something that made me nervous, I kind of just pushed it aside. Very, you know, kind of very boring, but just trying to just calm myself down.
Well, I woke up and Agnes said, you know, honey, what time is it? And I said, 9 minutes until 6. And she said, God, honey. I said, yeah, but it's the day. And so she turned, she very agreeably and lovingly turned the light on. And we fired up the telescreen, and we caught the very beginning. You know, from very jump, we caught the beginning of my favorite Clueless Morning Millionaires there on MSNBC.
I did get aggravated this morning because my local radio station, the DJ, is a Republican, and he tried to, and this did anger me, because he was talking about how vitriolic and divisive this campaign has been on both sides.
Oh, goody. Some both-siderism. I just love the both-siderism.
And that just pissed me off to no end. And I was, and I'll go through phases where I'll switch from that local station to NPR, which is dissatisfying as well after a while, and then switch back. Usually these are 20-year cycles. but I like to know what's going on locally, especially with COVID here in the state, because we're now escalating. We're, I think, around 4 or 5%, and now Massachusetts is looking at Connecticut and saying, yo, you need to quarantine when you come into our state, and vice versa. So I was just disappointed when I heard that, and angry, and I'm like, how dare you? It's not the same. Am I wrong? I just would like some.
No, it's not. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I didn't see any of those Biden rallies where Biden supporters were chanting "lock him up" or anything.
No, and I don't see where Biden supporters were trying
too busy honking,
pushing, you know, trying to engage in road rage and pushing, you know, Trump supporters or buses or anything like that off the roads, like what happened in Texas, which infuriated me, but. And now they're trying to say that the white vehicle might have been at fault with that big, you know, huge black jacked up pickup truck that slammed into the white vehicle, which I thought was part of the Biden caravan. You know, well, I shouldn't use the word caravan. That's a Trump thing.
I heard it was a staffer.
Right. He was a staffer trying to get behind the bus. It looked like they were part of the Biden. I mean, the only caravan is the Trump bullshit, you know, forget what's coming over the border. Right. So, yeah, that was something that infuriated me, that they're trying to now say that the white vehicle was at fault.
Well, I think though, the big thing now is to go and, it's not that that's not relevant, but it's in terms of news, the news cycle. I mean, it's relevant, especially if you were on the bus and afraid for your life. But I'm super, super worried now about what happens next tomorrow. Like, you know, I've been nervous enough about today, but waking up tomorrow, like, what happens if we win? What happens if we don't win? What happens if Trump proclaims at 9 p.m. tonight that he's won? You know, what happens? every day has been in this administration, what the fuck is going to happen now? You know, what the fuck did he say now? So that's,
okay. Isn't that the toughest part, Dan and Billable? It's like, I almost feel like I don't want to go to sleep, because it's like when you wake up and the radio program goes on, and it's that first bit of news that's a shocker.
Because Darlene, for all intents and purposes, there has to be a movie reference here because Dan's with us. The last 4 years have been every morning you wake up and it's a political ignorant Trump variation on rise and shine, campers. It's cold out there.
Yeah, it's
Ned Ryerson.
He
knows Ned.
Ned? Ned Ryerson?
Hey Dan, could I ask you a quick cartoon thing? Because I know you were talking just real quick. What do you think of the old Popeye cartoons? I've been dying to ask you that.
Well, when you define old, I mean, like, I love the Fleischer Brothers ones, the ones that were done in like the, I guess the 40s probably, like Popeye versus Popeye meets Sinbad the Sailor. And Popeye meets Alibaba and the 40 Thieves.
They almost looked like they were in 3D.
They did this rotoscope thing. The Fleischer Brothers were really, they had physical, they built like physical sets and would like film the sets and then cartoonize the sets. So that's where you got that real 3D effect.
Yeah, okay. Because my nephew, he's about 13 or 14, he just loved those. And it's great when you see the younger generations eating that stuff up. You know, he was just so big into it. Okay, I just was wondering. Spooky and just there's just something about them that is fun to watch, and just the 3D. Yeah.
You know, you watch like in Sinbad the Sailor, you watch the waves crash against the shore over and over against the boat, and you realize somebody's been drawing that over and over and over by hand. You know, the same way with the Monstro, the whale scene in Pinocchio. It's just stunning. Just the level of work, sheer work that goes into
it. Yeah, what is it, 7 frames a second?
24 frames a second.
Oh, 24, yeah.
Yeah.
So long ago, it's just, you know, it's like, it looks almost digitized.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, and those particular titles I mentioned, Sinbad the Sailor and Alibaba, those fell into public domain, you know, the same way that It's a Wonderful Life and Night of the Living Dead. Somebody didn't re-register a copyright in time, so they came into the public domain, which is bad business for them, but it's rather good for us, because you can find those cartoons, the Alibaba and Sinbad, and along with Old Betty Boops, like the one with Cap Calloway. All of those you can watch in a myriad number of ways online and so forth, because anybody can show them, anybody can watch them, and there's no royalties to that. That's why It's a Wonderful Life got shown at Christmas all the time by all these local stations. They didn't have to pay for it.
But you know what, Dan, the Spanky, the Little Rascals. I was under the understanding that were purchased by none other than Bill Cosby, and that he pretty much, he won't allow those to be replayed. I mean, what is your understanding of that? If you don't know, that's fine. I was just curious.
I don't know. It's one of those things I should have investigated, but I don't know why.
No, that's fine. I mean, I was just curious because you don't really, and you know, I grew up on that stuff, and
me too. Yeah.
Would love to see those again.
I was a charter member of the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
And I don't like it when people call me Darla. Do not call me Darla, whatever you do. But I just, I was just curious about that because I would love to be able to see those again, because my understanding is that Bill Cosby won't allow those to be in
syndication. I don't know. I think that could be urban legend, like Richard Gere and the Dribble.
Okay. Thank you.
I might be completely asked wrong because I am a lot, you know, I'm adamant and wrong at the same time more often than I can count. But my gut is telling me that it's really more of a matter of what our friends who love capitalism say, and I do too, actually, what the market will bear. And I think just after a while, you know, people just weren't as interested in watching old black and white anything. You know, God bless if your kids are into it. My daughter went through a phase where she didn't mind black and white, you know, when she was a kid.
Wow.
My kids are both in their 20s. You know, I have to drag them kicking and screaming to the couch to make them watch something in black and white.
Well, see, that this is where I hope that at some point that the next time you call in with Bob in a regular program, there can be some discussion about colorization, because I would love to hear that your take on that, because I do have some opinions on that concerning the Laurel and Hardys, but you know, maybe down the road. I mean, I don't know if this is the proper forum for it tonight, but. Yeah. I would love to have an in-depth discussion and get your take on that.
I'm grateful.
I was about 12 or 13 before we even had a color TV.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm grateful you asked the question because it provided me, a good 5-10 minutes of not thinking about the election.
Exactly. That really is the key to tonight's success, Dan.
Mm-hmm. I have been reading around because I can't help myself, right? I mean, there have been good things. There have been good omens. You know, I think because we got so burned 4 years ago, and let's not forget, we did win. We got 3 million more votes than the other guys.
Yeah. You
know, had some bad electoral luck, I
think. Yeah, but...
That damned electoral college.
Right, and you were talking earlier about the DJ pissing you off this morning, Darlene.
Yeah.
Well, one of the guests on 1A on National Petroleum Radio pissed me off today. They were talking about the Electoral College, and whoever this guy was from the National Center for Election Voting Knowledge Foundation, whatever.
Egg-headery.
Yeah, .org. Said, well, one thing that I would like for your, because it's that voice. One thing that I would like for your audience to understand is that the Electoral College is what we have. The fact of the matter is, it's how we have always decided our presidential elections. And, in fact, both candidates knew it was going to be in effect this year. And, well, there's some litigation out there. And, I mean, I could just hear him sneering down the ski slope of his nose at me.
You know what, Bob? If we get... Well, the outcomes that we want.
We won't worry about it again until we get screwed again.
Okay. I was hoping you'd say otherwise.
No.
Because I'm thinking if we take the both houses, the presidency, you know, that we getting rid of the Electoral College should be front and center.
Yeah, but, it should. That thing has outlived its usefulness by a long shot. And in point of fact, had I been sitting and not driving, you know, on that, I don't know if you've ever heard 1A, but it comes out of, what is it, American University, WAMU in D.C. Had I been sitting instead of driving, my little thumbs would have been texting away going, you know, if you're going to talk about the Electoral College, you might at least bother to mention the fact that its roots are in slavery. And if we're going to take down a 100-year-old statue of General Lee, why don't we take down the biggest statue, the biggest monument to racism there is in this country, the Electoral College. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, there's a great article that Ross Story published back when Trump was initially elected, well, you know, through the Electoral College, that really dissected that. About how it's steeped in racism and trying to prop up the South.
Well, and so, even on one of the programs recently, I forget which one it was, but they had on the G.I. Love Money, J. Paul Got Rocks, emeritus chair of constitutional law at The Ohio State University. And the first question asked was, well, I've heard people say that the Electoral College has roots in racism. Is that true? And he goes, oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, if you have all the, you know, basically it's all Republicans that have won, over, you know, through the Electoral College, what is it, four times now? Over Democrats, that's clearly, there's something wrong there when you look at that, you know, just like looking at the Supreme Court makeup that, you know, that more than a majority are Catholics. These are things that should be red flags to people.
Oh, and I'm not trying to reignite or reopen a wound or whatever, but it turns out I was right again. Guess who is going to hear her first case tomorrow?
Oh, Jesus.
No, that would be Justice Handmaid, not Jesus, darling. she just thinks she's Jesus. Actually, she thinks she's the handmaid of the Lord. She's gonna hear her first case tomorrow, and it just happens to be Philadelphia or CSS versus Philadelphia. Catholic social services have gone whining to the five-member Roman Catholic majority of the right-wing side of the court, saying that big, bad, mean Philadelphia was being big and bad and mean to them because they won't let Catholic services, Catholic social services discriminate against LGBTQ, QQIA families or anybody else who happens not to be Roman Catholic in refusing to place foster children with them.
Can you explain to me what the IAA is?
Yeah.
Because they keep adding the
lesbian, lesbian, gay.
Right. Yep.
Bisexual, transgender, okay. Queer,
uh-huh.
Queer questioning, okay. Intersex, asexual.
Intersex, asexual.
Yes.
How does intersex differ from bisexual?
Intersex is a physical condition. It's a physical condition from birth. And in most instances, intersex people are assigned one gender or another at birth, and the problem comes along when they get old enough to realize what happened, and they go, "Nah, you blew it. I'm the other way." The asexuals just prefer not to have sex with anybody, which is different from being celibate.
Okay. They keep adding to the acronym, and I just wanted to get clarification on that because that makes complete sense. But I try to keep up on this because I'm a grant writer, and the clients that I write for are serving, you know, people of different sexual, you know,
orientations and genders.
So I'm just, it's just, it's getting longer and longer and longer. And I feel like it's, my concern is it's going to become a point of ridicule. And
It already is.
Right. Yeah. And they need to come up with something, you know, because, to stem that because,
what it's actually a reflection of, Darlene, and I'm not trying to mansplain, but what it's actually a reflection of is the fact that the overarching understanding of human sexuality is that it is anything but binary. I mean, yes. a long time ago, Masters and Johnson said, yeah, listen, there's a continuum. And there is absolutely, unquestionably no two ways about it, heterosexual over here, and absolutely, unquestionably no two ways about it, homosexual over here. And then there's all this blending in the middle. But it turns out it's not a horizontal linear continuum. It's more like waveforms, or in fact, more like a 3D model.
Yeah, it's very fluid, and the language is changing faster than certain structures and institutions can keep up with. Because even when I try to keep up with it in my writing, you know, my grant writing, you know, I mean, I had one of my clients question, well, what do you mean by, you know, LGBTQQQ, you know? And I was like, well, this means queer questioning, you know, it keeps, they keep adding on to it. And and I get it. It's important to do that because it's, our understanding of gender is shifting and changing, and expanding. But to try to articulate it
ain't always easy.
It's not easy.
But you know what? As close as I can figure it out, based on years and years of reading the news and everything, is that you're going to be pretty much okay as long as you don't accuse anybody within those spectra of having made an active, conscious choice to be who they are, because that's the one thing everyone has in common, gay, straight, and everything in between. Nobody chose to be that.
Right.
And
yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. Dan's got his hand raised, so I'll shut up.
Okay. Go, Dan. Go.
No, I don't mean to shut you up. It's just that the pizza downstairs has come in. We bought a shitload of pizza for the big night. Nobody's in the mood to cook nor do dishes, and plus nervous to eat our way through the evening. So I need to just sort of, you know, say a few things and actually jump off. So
thanks, Dan. Nice chatting with you.
Just tell us first. Yeah. Is it awesome, legitimate, authentic, not chain, not corporate New York pizza? That's all I need to know.
Ooh, it definitely is. We ordered the hot high octane stuff tonight. Even though I'm in the burbs, you know, not in New York City proper, there's still plenty of excellent, 100% authentic Mamma Mia pizza.
Oh, if you can send us pics, please do.
What kind of booze, Steve?
No, our number one place is called Agnello's, and it's the kind where it's done in a square, and it's the thin crust with the homemade sauce and the homemade cheese. You know, everything is oh, and they're asking me again via text here, you know, when are you coming down? So, but yeah, it's to answer your question in one word, Bob, the answer is yes.
Good.
Oh, if you can send me pics through Facebook of the pizza you're eating, I sure not mandatory. I sure would appreciate it because in the northwest corner of Connecticut, can't find a real decent pizza. So I can live vicariously through you, Dan.
Okay. All right. So even though
and Dan, what do you drink
for its mystic pizza? But that's another story.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's another story for sure.
Within your health status, can you at least have like a non-alcoholic beer or something to go with it?
I drink decaf coffee, but I don't know. Non-alcoholic beer feels just somehow over the
skunk piss.
No, I can tell you there are some non-alcoholic beers that are skunk piss and, you know.
Duels.
Yeah. But the German non-alcoholic beers actually taste like beer.
Cool.
But it's, you know, tonight wouldn't be about let's savor the taste. Tonight would be about I can barely hold this bottle and I just want to gulp down a few to.
Yeah, tonight's get hammered and sit by the gutter. Yeah,
not hammered. I've never really enjoyed. I mean, you've seen me hammered in the college days. I've never been a good drunk.
Yeah, so okay. Let's think of it in terms of that's one of those lighter nights at the office on in Sunnyside.
Yeah.
Before you go, Dan, can I tell you hello? This is awesome that I actually get to hear to say hi to you.
It's Tracy.
That's Tracy.
Tracy, it is more awesome for me to finally hear you. Trust me. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of you, Tracy.
I just finished class, so I was like, I was wondering if we were going to do a election night front porch, and I should have known that was the case. So I was just excited that I got to sign on right before you signed off. So it was awesome to hear about you guys talk about pizza. We're having steak tonight and baked potatoes, I think.
instead of 5:38, we're going to talk pizza and, I don't know, secret squirrel or something.
But before you go, Dan, you had like a couple of last observations or remarks or something.
Yeah, I don't mean to take the talking bell away from some, but I keep looking for things, for positive signs, and it's been very hard for me to accept. Accept that I should look for positive signs, because 4 years ago, all I did was think positively, and that just made the hurt and the crush even worse, at 2 a.m. and the next day, that all along I thought, well, we don't have this in the bag, but still, this country wouldn't be so crazy to do this, would they? And they were. So, this time I've tried to guard my optimism more. But if I guard it too much, it's just no good. I'm just no fun to be around, and I depress myself. So I've just been looking around. I mean, and I'm sure you've already talked about this on your show yesterday, and I came in to listen around 5:15. So, but just the judge rejecting the Republicans' effort yesterday down in Houston, that's 127,000 votes.
Yes.
That got counted because the right thing happened. The thing that should have happened actually. We're getting so used to now that of like, well, the thing that should happen just isn't going to because somebody doesn't want it to be.
Well,
I
don't want your pizza to get cold, but I gotta be Bob Kincaid, little ray of sunshine. And that happened in that court at that level the right way. But as we've learned, much to our chagrin, that as long as those six jurisprudential thugs sit on the Supreme Court, nothing is ever final. So this stuff can still be challenged past tomorrow.
Yeah. No, don't get. I'm not so Pollyanna-ish to think that what happened with what do you call her, the handmaiden? The rush.
Oh, Justice
the rush to get her on.
Justice Handmaid.
What that was about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that was about. Oh, Trump can, this just adds the cherry on the shit sundae, that Trump can go to that court once again and say, don't count the votes that were cast, that Pennsylvania should stop after midnight or some crazy thing, when it's never been, votes have never been counted, and tabulated on the night of, even it's always been the networks, it's always been the media outlets that have called the election. But it's not official until votes. And so I'm grateful that happened yesterday in Houston. I'm grateful that there was, a federal judge who also, at least asked for the post office to do their sweep. And, why don't you check around the corners and check under the chairs and stuff for those extra ballots that you might still have lying around, because those have to be postmarked by November 3rd. Now, I have read that a lot of the post offices have basically said, well, we'll try, but we can't guarantee anything. And I'm sure there'll be various degrees of compliance on that judge order. But also just the fact that so many people have participated this time around, it just has to make me feel like, I'm going to be crazily, foolishly optimistic and say, how can this be denied that there is a strong, loud voice, and we had more than them 4 years ago. And then you've had a very, very polarizing person in office for the past 4 years, whose approval rating has never gone over 45% in any nationwide poll. I don't think even Fox's has given him more than 50%. So we've got so many good signs, and we have so many good people out there putting in so much work. And I just want to give one more shout out to groups like the ACLU and Fair Fight and Common Cause and all these groups that are going to be working for the next week still to make sure that every vote gets counted. And they're going to lose some, but maybe we'll win some. And just, the sheer turnout we've had, the odds are just on our side. That doesn't mean we're going to win, but you've got to at least allow a little optimism and certainly potential for joy, because I don't know what I'll do with myself. I honestly don't. I'll have to continue living, but if tomorrow ends like 4 years ago, the day after, I really don't know. I have no idea how to get through the day and pretend to focus on my job.
Right. I mean, Dan, I don't know. I mean, I'm not gonna give up. But if it were to start, well, it looks like it's going to be Trump. I'm going to start thinking seriously about a pack of Camel Wide Blues, and do the old Jerry Lewis trick where you put one between each finger, one up each nostril, and one in each ear, and five across your face.
Lady! With the schmazzle and the fozzle and the hoobsgobble.
Exactly. Well, be glad that you guys are white men. So, you know, just think of us poor, this queer black woman that's going, my God. Class that I was in was talking about anti-racism. So that part.
Oh, yeah.
God. Yeah.
Yeah. So much. And remember, and again, because I just had to be a little ray of sunshine and bring up Justice Handmaid, there's still a lot of stuff that is at hazard. Tracy and Jan's marriage is at hazard.
Yes, it is.
Our buddy Matt in San Francisco and his beloved spouse, their marriage is at hazard.
That's right.
The rights of every LGBTQIA person in this country remains at hazard, and there are still hundreds of children whose parents we can't find.
And it's not like if Biden is elected that suddenly cops are going to stop shooting unarmed black people. That's still going to happen. It's going to take time to turn around this terrible cruise ship we're on.
Yeah, the whole point is that if we can win this, we can start to fix things.
That's right. But I'd like your perspective on something. What's your gut feeling? Listen, just black women in general, black women in general have carried the Democratic Party forever. As long as I've been alive, as long as I've been a white man, heterosexual and all that, black people and women especially have carried them carried this party on their backs. I mean, what is your gut feeling? Are we gonna represent tonight, today, the past couple of weeks?
My gut, and for what I've been talking about it, because I don't know if you knew, but I'm an Africana studies major at Cal State Northridge, and so we, as I'm speaking for now the entire black race.
Because that's your job.
I know. I put you in that, being the...
No. That's Tracy's job.
If I'm not speaking for the entire black race, I'm speaking for all lesbians as well. So,
right.
In our gut, I mean, because just the fact that Texas is in play, Georgia is in play, the fact that that T-Rump has to work so many miracles to win numerically. I am pragmatically optimistic. I don't leave anything to chance. The fact that, like, you know, you brought up about what's happened in Texas, about the 127,000 votes that were not taken away, and what's happening in Pennsylvania, that they will not declare who won that state until every ballot is counted.
Yes.
And that Florida is in play as well. So there is, you know, and black voter turnout has been astronomical in this election. More black people are out voting who it was like, I think up to like 30 or 40% of black people are out voting and are out in force, because like you say, black women, and you know, even though the Democratic Party has not done right by us, you know,
not at all,
but the alternative is, you know, at this juncture, I am hoping this is about these anti-racist moments that we need to talk about these conversations. At least if Biden does win, now I'm going to say win, I'm not going to say if, I'm going to say when. I'm going to put it out there in the universe. that Biden would be the 46th president of these United States. What? That these conversations to how to fix this country. And we're going to have to start having uncomfortable conversations about reciprocity, reparations,
equity.
When Black people have been taken out of the equation for at least the last 80 years for, you know, FHA loans, GI bills, and all these other things that we did not have access to and we should have had the right to, these conversations must be had. We need to start forming. There's like all these think tanks in America, but hardly any of them are African-American centered. And the thing is, if African-Americans have equal rights, that means everybody has equal rights. It's not just for us, it's for everybody. So I hope that, you know, this is why I'm back in school, Dan. This is what I want to do. This is my purpose, to become part of the solution to the problem, to have these conversations and to get these conversations out there. You know what I'm saying?
I believe I do. And, you know,
your question,
that and more. Thank you. I mean, it's all, listen, and again, I didn't mean for you to have to speak for a race or a sex or even people named Tracy. But it's all about gut tonight, right? Because nobody knows, anybody that thinks they know what's the outcome or, you know, demographics, they're all talking out their assholes. Nobody fucking knows anything. We aren't going to know tomorrow, really, what's going on.
No.
I don't know
until Thursday. Who's prickling paper?
Yeah. And I feared, though, Dan, that for sure your pizza is getting cold, so you better go eat it.
True. the best pizza in New York can turn into ketchup on a cracker.
In a hurry, and
you cold, go.
And,
thanks,
cold, and cold anchovies.
I wanted to certainly listen to Tracy, and I'm glad I did. And
I'm glad you came by. This is wonderful to have you part of the general mix of the interplay. And cold anchovies suck, Dan.
Oh, what anchovies? If you hovered an anchovy above my mouth and said, "Eat this, or it counts as a vote for Trump," I don't know what to tell you. I'm like,
is that white people stuff?
Hell or high water. You know?
That is so nasty. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, good luck. So,
give our best to Helene and the whole gang. I don't know if Gus is there.
Gus is there. Maya's there. Phoebe's up in Montreal. And if things don't go well for us, maybe.
Y'all may be too.
401k joint, you know. Maybe I'll take early retirement and learn to love Tim Hortons. What can I tell you?
Learn. Yeah, now I'll get hate mail from the Canadian contingent. What do you mean learn? Hey. Dan, take care. I'm so glad you came by.
Okay. Love you. Love you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Let's turn this country back. Bye.
Onward to victory.
Bye, Dan.
Awesome. Wow.
And so that of course was the irrepressible Dan Fisher. I'm so glad he came. Like I said, I'm glad he took part in the hurly burly of the conversation. That was just wonderful. We're a little over halfway through this part of the program. And I just have to mention that, again, we have an election night challenge courtesy of Yuki. And Yuki's election night challenge has $140 remaining on it. This was really sweet of Yuki because, you know, we raised the fundraising goal, and she's making it possible for us to not have to fundraise half of the fundraising goal this evening if other people will kick in. Well, there's $140 remaining. 14 people at 10, 10 people at 14, 2 at 70, 4 at 35, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, the PayPal interfaces at headon.live, the usual yada yada. Thank you. Hopefully we will knock that out. Says Cynthia. And I have a jar of anchovies in my cupboard just waiting to flavor the right dish. They work in a lot of stuff, I'm sure. I can do them once in a while, but they're just so salty and just so fishy. But that's, you know, me. we had a little hope for Dan, courtesy of Lee in New York. Optimism for Dan. Kentucky at this moment, and this was 8 minutes ago. Kentucky, Joe Biden, 53.9% with 80,366 votes. Donald Trump, 44.5% with 66,419. I'm guessing those are early returns coming in from the civilized parts of Kentucky, Stan, like Louisville and Lexington.
Right now, it's showing.
Steve Kernacki's at the big board at 65.
Yep, 65.2 for Biden and 33% for Trump in Kentucky.
Yeah, because it takes a little bit of time to get those ballots into the wagon and hitch up old Dobbin to the shay and drive him and drive him down to the county seat there in the settlements and from up the holler and busted knuckle. So yeah,
I mean, and even if we are lucky and we were able to get Biden and Harris convincingly winning this, we still have 3 months of Trump lame duck to go, and he'll do anything but make it a lame duck.
That's possible, Darlene, but not to be disagreeable for the sake of disagreeing, but there's also the possibility that if he loses and if he exhausts his various stratagems for not losing, for stealing the election, the lame duck may be more of a question of watching the time run through the hourglass until, as we've sort of speculated here, he works out his deal with Mike Pencil Neck Geek.
Yeah.
And resigns.
I'm fine
because
with
that. Arnold texted me a few minutes ago and said, Trump on Fox and Friends this morning sounded like a man who wants to lose.
He did.
A camera person, turn off your camera.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I would agree with that for sure. And I think, Tracy, I don't know if you've been listening closely to Kamala Harris, but I feel like she is a quiet, sane voice in all of this. And like she said, we are going to appoint a black woman to the Supreme Court. And she said something else that gave me hope concerning the election. So,
I Darlene, I texted Bob this morning. I was up at 3 a.m. California time. I've been up since then.
Wow.
I was doing homework and I slept for about an hour. I woke back up, but Bob and I were texting. I actually watched Morning Joe for the first time ever. Hmm. And I'm like, these people are pale, but
they are.
it's funny. Dan used the dogs and cats living together line, and Robert in Australia chimed in and said, oh, I get it. Ghostbusters. Well, lo and behold, there was Joe Scarborough this morning talking and declaring, dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria,
exactly.
I'm hoping and I'm hopeful. Like Bob, being the fucking ray of sunshine he can be about what the court, what the handmaid can do, in the Supreme Court. But this is when my faith kicks in and I'm like, you know what? We can do this and things can be fixed. I'm about to get a bottle of a Prosecco and take my anti-anxiety medication and have it right here while I'm doing homework. You think I'm playing? Because I'm going to be up for the... I'm not going to bed until the polls close in Hawaii.
I get it. Yeah, I mean, it's like I was saying to Bob before you signed on, Tracy, to me, the most disturbing thing is falling asleep, waking up, and hearing the news the next morning if it isn't good. It's like, like I want to just stay up and not, you know, just ease myself into any bad news if there's bad news.
I don't want to go to bed tonight and wake up, you know, try not to commit suicide. And I'm not even trying to be funny with this because it's just...
Well, don't do that. We need you. Don't do that. No matter what the outcome is, we need you. So don't do that.
I have work to do.
Yeah, you've got so much to contribute. Don't do that.
No, but my God, I mean, just watching. I've had my TV on. I've never had my TV on all day, and it's been on MSNBC since I woke up. You know, since 3 o'clock this morning, and. Now that the polls are, is it 4 o'clock yet? No.
Look at the size of the crowd gathering in Lafayette Park with the big remove Trump sign.
Remove Trump sign.
Ooh.
Cool. You know, people are tired. People, I mean, when you have over 100 million people have already voted in absentee and mail-in ballots, that's saying a lot. When 70% more, is it, did they say 70% of who voted in 2016 have already voted in this over, you know, in absentee and mail-in ballots? That's amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, I think I know Mary Trump has said it. Other psychologists have said it. We're essentially in an abusive relationship. Not by our choice, but Trump is the abuser and we're in this abusive relationship. It's exhausting. It is
I'm hoping that this day will be forever remembered as shit stain removal day.
Let's hope.
In American history. Yeah.
Because I'm exhausted. People are exhausted. We're sick of the tweets and the lies and the bullshit. We're tired of it. And anyone who is healthy, this is excruciating. So let's hope that we pass this IQ test.
Yeah,
yeah, that's worth remembering. I haven't, you know, I haven't mentioned the quadrennial national quadrennial one question IQ test in a while, but it's exactly that.
Yeah, and we've got plenty of it's a multi-phase, a multi-angle attack against sanity, you know, that we're seeing. And maybe that's good in the sense that it's a sign of desperation from the right, you know, because we're seeing these attacks on people being able to vote, you know, the intimidation, the Supreme Court cases, all of that.
I mean, I wonder if it's possible within the realm of psychology and psychiatry, I wonder if it's possible to have, like, mass shared PTSD because I
think
we've all been gaslighted for 4 years.
I think so.
And Randy with an observation, and it's a true one. Even if the polls have closed in a given state, there will still be a lot of people in line waiting to vote.
Exactly. I mean, and here in California, remember, as long as the their ballot, if somebody mailed in their ballot, and as long as it's postmarked the 3rd, that ballot can be counted.
First off, these are only experts.
I think we have a 3-day. I think, hey, Sparky, if you're still here, do we have I think we have like a 3 or 4 day window to get ballots in that were postmarked today.
That may be one of the.
As long as they show up with a postmark, they get counted.
Right. But have a window? Isn't it like 3 or 4 days after today? Or something like that?
Yeah, well, they will keep counting until they get them all counted.
Yeah.
Who's that congressman and congresswoman in Orange County? I'm trying to think. She was on TV the other day. Name's on the tip of my tongue. Elizabeth Warren's protege.
Not Katie Porter.
Katie Porter, yeah. She was on TV the other day.
Oh, she was.
And she said her race wasn't decided for like 3 weeks, I want to say.
Makes sense, I guess. There's somebody.
There were several races in California that weren't called for weeks.
There's somebody who's a guest who's got their hand raised. Skype.
Is that Dot C?
I've got my hand up.
Oh, okay.
It's Matt in San Francisco.
Oh, hey, Matt. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I'm cautiously optimistic as well. I think this might be the year where the majority, being people of color, LGBT people, are pushing this electorate to truly reflect what the majority wants in America. And the only concern I have is that the votes get counted because of the USPS and all of that. That's my only concern. But I feel like in 2016, I definitely felt dread. Even before Hillary announced, there was a bus in San Francisco that said, "Ready for Hillary." And when I saw that bus, I just had this sinking feeling that she couldn't win. Not that I didn't want her to, but that the country wasn't ready. This year, I have a feeling of optimism that the country's ready to turn the page, just because everybody's been cooped up in their house and been able to watch this shit show close up for so long that they're just exhausted and want something different.
I hope you're right.
Well, you know, I wonder how much COVID has played into this, because I have to believe, Matt, that not everybody in this country is as stupid as the maggots.
Agreed.
And that being the case, I have to hope that most people are taking this disease seriously. And if, in fact, they are taking it seriously, they have to understand this thing is not going to go away by itself. And as such, we've got to have somebody in there that wants to be proactive in solving the problem. And that's just never going to be Donald Trump. I don't care if you like him or not. He's made it clear he has no intention to do anything to solve this problem.
And actually, he's making it worse by personally spreading it.
Exactly. You know, and those James in Illinois sent me pictures of the people walking away from his rally last night in Pennsylvania in the freezing cold. And what must they have been thinking? Well, I guess I still love him. I don't know. Who's the background noise there? Was that Matt?
No, I just muted Richard.
Ah, okay. Okay. Well, let's go around the room, and is there anybody else who hasn't gotten to chime in that wanted to? And by the way, Chris, again, happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much, Bob. Thanks, family.
Oh,
thanks, Horn family.
How many rotations around the sun have you done?
49.
Ooh,
close to that. Five.
Big five. Oh, baby, next year.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I'm 20. That's why
I got 20 years on you, and I kind of feel like I'm 20 in a way, but my body doesn't feel like it's 20.
Exactly right, Sparky. Mentally, I feel like.
Hey, you guys.
Is that Joey?
Yes, yeah. Hey, I'm just leaving. I'm just leaving Pennsylvania. And I'll tell you, it is just, there literally are signs along the road with neon advertisements for Trump. I mean, these signs are probably worth more than these people's houses. it was the most depressing. I got a list of people. I went knocking on doors. Some of these stupid shits didn't even know today was the election.
Oh, no, Joey.
Yeah, I mean, I just couldn't believe how backward Greensburg, Pennsylvania was. You know, it's only an hour, if you know, from Pittsburgh. But, I mean, I felt like I was in Appalachia.
Well, you are. It was just, that is Appalachia.
It was, Bob. And
well, no, I mean, I'm not being facetious. That is physically, geographically, literally Appalachia.
Oh, my God. And
Joey, you know the old saying about the definition of Pennsylvania, right?
Remind me.
It's Philly in the east and Pittsburgh in the west and Alabama in the middle.
Yeah, and I experienced that today. I really thought I was going to an area that was going to be a little, you know, more civilized.
No.
I wonder if some of these people had fucking running water. And that's what I started thinking to myself. These people have heat and light and water. I mean, do they have a telephone? I just, wow.
Well, yes, they have a phone. They go outside and they climb the pole and they hook it up and they ask for Sarah to connect them.
Yeah, party line.
How many doors did you knock on, Joey?
I did 23, and I just couldn't take it anymore. I had a list of 50, and I did 23, and I said, I'm just the hell out of here.
There were just to go drink, signs, right?
Trump signs everywhere. Oh, and you could tell the signs were bought. Someone from the outside force brought these signs in because they were just, and like I said, these really nice signs you see along the side of the road, big billboard signs that were neon, flashing Trump. I'm thinking these people, look, what the? It really bothered me. But good news was, here was some great news. One of the polling sites, there was voting places, there was a 2-hour wait. And that being maggot country, it was just damn glad to see it. So the maggots, they had to do some serious waitings in some of these jurisdictions out in the, you know.
Yeah, but remember, Joey, these are people who are willing to die for him.
Yeah, well, they might have to. But someone made an interesting point, and that's it. You drive by, it's voter suppression. When you drive by and you see a line that long, a lot of people just say, forget it, man. I'm not standing in a line that long. And it's just a form of voter suppression. And I saw some of that today, and I was Jeffrey just hid. I took him out. We took a picture of the Westmoreland Democratic office there, and then he wanted to go back in the car. He couldn't take it. He just
did he have his mask on?
He wanted to wear one of those hazmat suits. He was so upset.
he was just so maggoty out there.
Oh God! So, and I just finally took his advice. Let's just get the hell out of here. And so we're on the Pennsylvania Turnpike right now, headed for home. I really want to win Pennsylvania because that's Ohio is just iffy. There's been over 1 million people kicked off the voting rolls in the last 10 years. So I don't care what the polls say. There's just too fucking many people that can't vote here.
Oh, and speaking of kicked off the voting rolls, David in South Carolina, Stan, reminded me of something earlier this evening. And that is at the last minute, South Carolina, Stan, decided to invalidate a shit ton of ballots over signatures.
Yeah, just for Lady Lindsay. That's lovely.
Right.
Yeah, like they're forensic experts or something. Ooh, fucking horse shit that is.
But yeah, it was an eye opener today. I just was, wow.
Yeah, Pennsylvania is very, very, very scary.
Delaware has the shortest window to tabulate and submit to the Secretary of State to certify, which is November 5th for the November 3rd election. Most of the rest of the states are mid to late November, with a couple of states have until, like Missouri, is the 8th of December before the Secretary of State shall convene the Board of State Canvassers to total the abstracts of each general election, blah, 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 blah. So realistically, in looking at this, that we should not expect certified results until November 24th to 30th in that window. which most of the states have to be in by then. Again, with a few like Nevada is December 1st, New Jersey is December 12th, New York is December 7th. So expecting the absolute confirmed number, not even a single state has a confirmed number until November 5th.
Right. Those are all governmental functions. The idea that we know on election night is kind of a media myth. But in past years, the polling and the certifications have tracked what we thought happened on election night. But, and in particular, since the McCutcheon case out of Alabama that gutted the Voting Rights Act, all bets are now off. Somebody has audio going in the background. It's MSNBC. And, it makes it easier to carry on a conversation when that's not there.
Hey, Bob, it's Darlene. Can I ask you a question? I've been listening more to Mike Malloy since the Horn has had him like an hour of his program on after you sign off. And Mike is talking about how I guess if Trump winds up stealing this election, that he knows where he will be. And I'm curious as to what he's talking about. Is that something you can divulge or no? And if it isn't, that's fine. But I was just curious what he was referencing there.
I don't know. I could guess based on knowing Mike, but it would only be a guess and that would be wrong.
I mean, I'm just wondering if he's going to go to Washington and surround the White House along with, like,
well, that's one of the guesses, you know.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So it's sort of, He's purposefully keeping it.
If he steals the election, sure. The idea, I don't think it's a big secret. I think there's an urge of on our side of the political divide nationwide that if he steals the election, it's going to take a million people in the streets of D.C. and they'll have to bring in tanks.
Apparently, Trump's been called in Kentucky, for whatever that's worth. At least by the New York Times.
No, Kentucky too early to call, MSNBC just said.
I'm just talking, this is winner. Donald J. Trump wins Kentucky.
Well, I mean, so. It's not a surprise, but.
Winner, Joseph Biden wins Vermont. This is New York Times, so I don't know.
Wait, how could he win? Wait. When did the polls close in Kentucky?
Oh, they project a winner within a minute of the closing.
I'll put the link on your chart.
Thank you. Okay.
From the New York Times thing. New York Times. If I have to sign out by eight, something else, if I have to sign out, and can I sign back in around 8:45 in the back room? Do you know?
Well, I don't know what we mean by a back room, but it's the
back porch.
I mean, I don't know how it works. I mean, I assume it's the same room.
The same room.
That's all we do.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, like I said, at 10, I will be back.
Oh. Okay,
I presume, I'll just come back at 10 and bring the group back on the air.
10 Eastern time?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so Vermont, it looks like Vermont is called for Biden.
Correct.
Kentucky.
At least in the New York Times, I mean, apparently other data bases are saying otherwise. And if you
Washington
look down on that
Post.
Chart,
yeah.
If you look down on the chart, it says Donald J. Trump wins Kentucky.
Mm.
So if you see it there.
Oh. Right, so you.
Bob,
but this is.
Bob, if you're back at 10, I should be pretty into my birthday bottle tequila. The only thing I'm missing is the swirly straw.
Woohoo! Good stuff.
Happy birthday, Chris. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
May this be a good outcome for your.
It's
birthday.
Either the best or worst since the day I came out of the womb.
Well, I kind of like the fact that right now the electoral. Votes are, it looks like, what is it? I was just seeing it here for a second, and then it disappeared. What was it? 8 for Trump and 3 for Biden.
Correct.
I'd rather I'd rather it be that way, because it seems like whenever the person who's trailing usually winds up winning in the end. That's just what I've noticed over the years with these things on a statewide, local, national level. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay.
So what kind of tequila, Chris? I mean, I'm living vicariously here.
Oh, it's Azul, something Azul. Here, let me get it. Hold on.
Luna Azul.
Yeah, something like that. I think
Pinero
Azul.
Oh, okay. I think it's probably a clear bottle or a blue bottle with clear tequila in it.
Yeah, it's got a blue label.
Yeah.
Per USA Today, it looks like we've got 36 for the Senate, 30 for Republicans in the Senate, 1 for the House, 2 for Republicans for the House. Per USA Today.
And a little COVID update coming from Jeremy in Vermont, who jumped in and helped out again and got us down to 135. And then Faith jumped in. Thank you, Faith and Andrew. We're down to 125. We got $125 to go on Yuki's election night challenge. Thanks again to Yuki. And $125 gets the job done this evening. But Jeremy says Vermont's leadership has announced no real high school winter sports, and that there will be stick limitations on ski resorts and the numbers allowed on any given day. Didn't take but a moment for that to be posted for a fucking maggot to chime in that, that's what happens when you elect Democrats. Shh, don't tell him our governor is a Republican and he voted for Joe. Yeah. Kyle says, I've been confident all day, but now I'm nervous as fuck. I think in the last hour I've walked 5 miles just pacing around my house. Kyle, breathe. Breathe. Letting go now. Letting go now. Letting everything go.
Bob, I'm so glad to have this today.
Well, I'd be glad to have tequila, too. Sanity. Oh, you mean the program. Okay, I was thinking about
that. Yeah, the program.
I was still fixated on the tequila.
No, that, too. Well, yeah. Pedro,
what are your birthday plans?
Hanging out here. I was gonna go over to my sister's, but the weather's really crappy, and I have to be up. I had a long day at work. I'm on the early shift, so I started at five this week. So I'm just gonna stay in tonight,
How young are you turning?
49.
Oh, you're a baby. You're a baby. 49. That's awesome. Good for you.
Well, hey, it's been kind of a night of firsts. Dan Fisher interacting with the Horn Family Community Congregation. And now veteran and legendary broadcaster Guy James joins us. Hey, Guy.
Cool. Hey, we're here, buddy.
Happy, I guess, hope election night.
Well, I had my face glued to the TV, as 99% of the Americans will do. And I don't know why already, because there's nothing in, really. But I already got some news I didn't want from Florida. Several Florida counties are pretty much in the red column. We got plenty of time.
You feel good about Florida?
County's looking good.
Let's see. What county are you in?
Lee.
Lee, okay.
And it's the first one they called.
Oh, really?
It's Redneck Heaven.
Did you know that when you moved there, Guy?
Not as much. No. Myers was always just a vacation place, and I used to come here a lot on vacation, and I didn't play politics while I was on vacation. I guess I should have, but no, it's heavy duty red. They called it by about 12 points, I think, for Trump here a little bit ago.
Well, they just MSNBC just gave Citrus County to Trump.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Citrus, Pinellas.
Yeah, all the, and there's no citrus in Citrus County anymore.
But none of those are surprises, right?
Not really. No, Orlando and you know, St. Petersburg area, and not really a surprise, and certainly not a surprise here at Fort Myers. It's just hard to imagine, Bob. I don't know how it is in Beckley, but even though I haven't walked down the street here in a long time, since about March, you walk down a street and you can pretty much tell two out of every three you walk past are Trumpers. I mean, it's just, it's hard to swallow.
It's pretty much the same way here. And for me, it's a little harder to stomach here because I know what this state used to be.
Yeah.
This
oh,
state
yeah.
used to be
I
hard,
remember.
Hardcore labor. What was it? Sam Huff, the great Mountaineer yeah. linebacker and Redskins line. Washington Football Club linebacker. And who else did he play for? But he
him
said
and Jim Brown, him and my Jim Brown for Cleveland Browns were great rivals.
Oh, and,
great
and,
rivals.
And he and Jim Brown were personal enemies. but Sam Huff said growing up, there were two pictures in every household in West Virginia, John L. Lewis and Jesus H. Christ.
I'm surprised Franklin Roosevelt wasn't up there too.
Well, he may have been. Maybe it was three. Maybe I'm misremembering. But the fact of the matter is, this state was a reliable Democratic stronghold.
Oh yes, oh yes, I remember it well.
And now so much time has passed that I heard someone describing West Virginia on the radio the other day and said, "Well, you know, West Virginia hasn't voted for a Democrat since Bill Clinton." And it's almost like you could hear the dust blowing in the wind.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
and so,
yes.
And so as a consequence of that, I kind of felt old because I remember being a child. We'd be up here on vacation. It'd be August. And it was the early 70s. And my father's extended family just sat on the back porch of Granny's house after Sunday dinner. It's August. There's not an air conditioner in the entire county.
No.
It's hot. The air isn't moving. I was bored out of my skull, but I sat there listening to the grown-ups, and I got interested after a while because if Richard Nixon, and this is like 1970, 71, if Richard Nixon had been within earshot, he would have gone away in chunks in a basket.
I believe it. I certainly do believe it.
And it was take no prisoners. There was not going to be those were the children of a union coal miner, and it would be a cold day in hell before they ever cast a ballot for a Republican. And so in a relatively short span of time, because again that's 70, 71. And up to 1996, again, this state loved Bill Clinton and voted for him twice.
Yeah.
And then something happened, and we've had this conversation before, Guy James. The something that happened was Rush Limbaugh and right-wing radio.
Oh, my
Jerry Falwell and the moral majority. And braying about godless Democrats and secular liberals and abortion from the pulpit. And the next thing you know, what pushed us over the cliff was when Charlton Heston came to the Beckley Raleigh County Civic Center in 2000.
Oh, my cold, dead hands.
And stuck up and held that rifle up and said, Al Gore, that damn dirty ape, is going to take your guns and your Bible.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's over, and it ended right there. Boom, done.
I will not sit and watch a movie on TV today with Charlton Heston. I will not do it. I hated him.
I feel it. Yeah.
Well, that's why I never, and Darlene and I were talking about this the other night. That's why, I think it was you, Darlene, that's why I have never watched the Wonder Woman movie. Because it was produced by Steve Mnuchin. And I don't care what format I watch it in, whether it's a streaming service or I go out and rent it, or if I went to see it in a movie theater. Any way I watched it, I was somehow or another putting money in that evil little piss ant's pocket. And I won't do it.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that
he
did that.
You didn't miss anything, Bob.
That may not have been me, but I appreciate that, though. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was, but... I'll get an email saying, no, that was me, Bob.
Yeah. I didn't know that Mnuchin was into producing movies. Where was I on all that?
Jeez. That's what he mostly was.
Yeah, I'm shocked to hear that as well, to learn that as well, yes.
Can't stand him. I just can't stand him. Well,
If you can't stand him, you might want to look up his credentials on IMDb and look at all the movies he's produced.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, that's more credit than I would have given him. I didn't know. I really didn't know. He's a two-faced, ass-kissing, oh, well.
Was that before he became the crooked banker, the foreclosure king?
Oh, no, he was that, too.
And I don't understand, well, his wife is, you know, gorgeous, and I don't think she would have given him a second look, but for the fact that he's...
Let's see, executive, working present to past... The House executive producer, Wonder Woman executive producer, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword executive producer, Unforgettable, Going in Style, Chips, Fist Fight, the Lego Batman movie, Collateral Beauty, Rules Don't Apply,
Whoa.
The Accountant, The Midnight Man, Storks, Sully, Suicide Squad, The Legend of Tarzan, Central Intelligence, Lights Out, The Conjuring, Keanu, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, Midnight Special, How to Be Single, In the Heart of the Sea, Pan, The Intern, Our Brand is Crisis, Black Mass, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Vacation, Entourage, Mad Max Fury Road, Get Hard, Run All Night, Jupiter Ascending, American Sniper, Inherent Vice, Annabelle, Winter's Tale, Blended, The Lego Movie, and Edge of Tomorrow.
Fucking Steve Mnuchin, executive
producer on all those films.
Was that the Vacation with Chevy Chase in it?
I hope not.
Me too, because that's the only one I've.
I think there was a remake of Vacation.
Yeah, I think it was.
That's the only one I've seen out of that entire group you mentioned. I don't know anything about the rest of them.
No, I liked the Fury Road. I did like that movie. Most of the rest of them I didn't see.
More fodder, Bob, for you to, you know, to discuss with Dan Fisher. I mean, you know, and just looking at Trump, it's always been about him being a TV star. So is there any surprise that Steve Mnuchin is Treasury Secretary?
Yeah.
I mean, shit! This is insane. It makes me think about Hitler, you know, and him wanting to be an artist and being rejected for that. And oh, geez.
Well, he had Leni Riefenstahl working for him. Hitler did. She was good at putting out propaganda movies and so forth.
Well, I mean, she was an artiste of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay, just real quick question. I'm watching MSNBC. What the hell does Joy Reid have on? I mean, is it reptilian? I mean
wait a minute. Is it reptilian gets a cowbell?
Beautiful woman, though. Well, I gotta look now. Oh,
I'm like, honey, I mean, usually she's pretty much on. I mean, I'm not a fashion person, but Jesus, what the fuck? I mean, it looks like something straight out of Star Trek, and there's an obligatory Star Trek reference. I mean, come on. It's just, what the hell?
Well, they haven't cut back to her. Is it like pleather or something?
I don't know what that is, man. It's terrible.
Tracy, is she getting ready to do Crocodile Rock?
Yes!
No, wait! Further Star Trek reference! That's a Romulan uniform!
No! It's that reptilian creature that he met on the planet there, and he defeated.
Yes!
What the hell was it called? I gotta look
the
that
Gorn?
Up now. The Gorn! Yes! The Gorn.
Yeah, I have no idea what you guys.
We're Star Trek fans, Guy. It can't be helped.
It just shows that Black people know about stuff too. But
Tracy, can you post that in the chat? What her outfit is? I want to see that. I'm looking here, but I can't find it. On MSNBC.
I got to run. So y'all enjoy the
action. Hang in there, Billable. If you can, Billable, if you want to, come back after 7 o'clock your time. We'll be here.
Hi, Billable.
Yeah. Hi,
Billable. Hey,
happy birthday, Chris. I didn't know it was your birthday. Way to go,
thanks,
man. You're like about 9 years behind me, so there you go. I'm catching up rapidly. Just remember, folks, if Biden can pull out either Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, or Arizona, it's going to be a good night for him.
Pennsylvania. That's those
states to look for.
MSNBC just called Florida for Biden, but
what?
It's still kind of
no.
They called Florida for Biden, but the percent is still low, and the spread isn't very big. I'm just saying they called it. I didn't say it was actually happening.
But are you sure? Roger, are you sure?
Maybe have a coronary, brother.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Where are you seeing that?
You got us. No.
MSNBC.
New York Times.
I've got MSNBC picture on the Skype group here, and I don't see that, but John Ossoff.
Just a quick flash.
John Ossoff is leading Purdue. That's good.
That's terrific.
51% though, or 50.0001 is what he needs.
But McConnell is beating McGrath.
Handley? Oh,
of course he is.
Yeah, by about
51.6, 45.2.
Yeah, 6%.
Wow.
It's going to be 10 or 11, I bet, that one. That's not going to be close.
Well, Graham
in South Carolina.
I hope Jamie Harrison can pull one out. We'll see. We'll see. We're going to have some surprises, I think. If the high turnout favors the Democrats, we're going to see some weird stuff happening in our favor, I think. You know.
Well, now we also got to remember that what we're getting in most of these, because there's only three states.
All right. We'll see.
There's only three states that are counting the mail-ins. What we're seeing are the in-person votes today, and the mail-in being over 100 million is definitely going to be changing shit around.
Yeah, good point. Yes. Wow.
Have we ever had a turnout greater than 66% in the country's history?
I don't think the mail-in's ever even been over 40%.
No, I'm just saying in general, like a turnout.
Oh, the turnout.
Totally.
Oh. Frequently, it's down around 30%.
Of the total population?
Yeah,
it's more than that, isn't it? Like 50%, right? 40?
Well, all right. In a non-presidential... The off-year elections, the turnout has sometimes been as low as 25, but it's usually around 35, 37.
Right.
In presidentials, it varies between 45 and 55. Whereas this time around, I think we're going to be over 65% when all is said and done.
I think that's exactly right. And I don't know if that's ever happened before, if we've had two-thirds of eligible voters actually vote.
I believe there was one back in the 19-teens. Let me do a little research.
2008? Does anyone know roundabout what the number was in 2008?
Hey, guy, don't the polls not close in Florida until like 8 o'clock in the Panhandle, Lower Alabama?
Yeah, 8 o'clock in the Panhandle. That's right.
So it would be impossible to call it.
Yeah, there's a significant number over there out there. You got Panama City, quite a few folks around that area,
and they're all maggots.
I knew one that wasn't, but other than that.
We shouldn't forget what's going on down in South America with that that horrible hurricane that's hitting.
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua, yeah. Eta, I think it is.
Eta, yeah.
It sounds like it is going to be quite devastating.
Well, it's coming ashore with sustained winds of 140 miles an hour.
Oh.
It's bad. I heard 150 at one point.
It had.
Have you looked at the long term projections? It's not going away either.
No, it's going to park.
It's going to reemerge.
Oh, God.
Zigzag. All ever could it end up back in the Gulf again? At this point, they really don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It could bounce off the Central American highlands like a pinball off a bumper.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Where do you think George is gonna land in all of this tonight? And hi, Faith.
Hi, Darlene. Sorry, had to unmute. I was a writer.
That's cool. That's cool.
And happy birthday to.
What was that, Faith?
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much, Faith. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I was just asking Steve from Georgia's stand where he thinks George is going to wind up.
What do I hope or what do I think?
It's going to be blue.
Let's hear both.
Well, of course I'm hoping it's blue. Blue as blue can be, but, oh, man, it is Georgia after all, Darlene. I don't want to be a downer, but that should be enough.
Yeah, but Stacey Abrams has done such a magnificent job of getting out the vote. And as she observed earlier today, she said, you know, it's not just Metro Atlanta. It's down south. It's everywhere.
Yep. Last election was stolen from her, blatantly stolen.
It, straight up, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a question coming in from Cynthia in the Bay Area. Help! What do I drink tonight without taking a trip to the store? I have a beer, plenty of wine, some tequila, champagne, and gin. I'm plumb out of whiskey. I'd love to pop the champagne, but expect the opportunity to celebrate won't come before tomorrow at the soonest. So what do I drink tonight? I'm thinking the gin. What do you think? Cynthia, if you want to establish that sort of ethereal Vulcan mind meld connection with the community, Chris is drinking tequila on his birthday tonight, so I'd go tequila too. But once you open the tequila, Cynthia, lock all the doors so you can't get outside.
Yep. And make sure your clothes are buttoned tight.
What we really need, Bob knows. I mean, this is what it really takes, though, to have a really good night like that, is some good rye whiskey.
Rye whiskey. Absolutely.
That's right.
That I don't have.
Rock and rye.
I do have some Portland Crater Lake bourbon. I do have some of that. but I ain't mixing bourbon and tequila. That ain't happening.
No, no, no.
But, that's a bad, bad Chris, morning. Hurt
puppy tomorrow.
Chris's mama didn't raise no dummy.
No, no, not at all.
Chase it with a right, right.
But I tell you what, a real nice, as Guy can testify, a real nice, cheap and cheerful rye. I mean, it's got a plastic screw top and everything. Made in Bardstown, yeah. Kentucky. It's called Rittenhouse Rye.
Hmm.
And they're 100 proof. Will take you where you want to go, and it'll get you there in a hurry.
Excellent. Never done that.
While ironing your shirt for the next day. Yes, I remember well, Guy James. I don't ordinarily drink, Bob. Yeah.
You'd bring that up, wouldn't you?
Well, you know, I didn't bring up rye whiskey. You brought up rye whiskey.
Oh, I did, yeah, but I didn't go into details. The devil's in the details on that, Bob.
The devil was in the rye whiskey bottle that night, Guy James.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I do remember. At least I remember.
It came from, what's the name? It's a chain around D.C., Kogels, K-O-G-O-L-S, Kogels Liquor, across the street from the Hyatt in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, down on the corner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember it well.
And we did a fantastic job of fulfilling our broadcast obligations the very next day.
That's right. Mm. That's exactly right. We had a mission and we fulfilled it. Candy was proud of us.
Yes, she was.
You ever hear from her, Bob?
Not in the longest time.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's up to these days. But you know, that's another thing. You know, Guy and I had a number of forays, and Malloy was in on some of them too. Hartman was there. A whole bunch of folks. We would get invited to D.C. to do these radio rows. And that's because there were a number of nicely funded liberal leftish think tanks back then.
Yep.
And, I mean, they all dried up, didn't they, Guy?
I don't know if any of them are still working. I really don't.
I mean, there were great people.
Campaign for America's Future and
Families
just
USA. Many of them.
Yep. Gosh, I'm sitting here looking at my 2008 Democratic National Convention press pass. God, that was a magical time. That night that Barack came out on stage and accepted the nomination in Mile High Stadium was, I couldn't forget that if I tried. That's what a night.
This is Darlene from Connecticut, and you have a great radio voice just like Bob. And I remember there was an interview that you did with the daughter of a nutcase right-wing religious family.
From Oklahoma, or I think they were nutcase.
No, was that Westboro Baptist from Kansas?
You got it, buddy. That's it.
And yeah. I can't remember the last name, but you were hilarious because this was when you had your program going and the horn was broadcasting it. And you had said to her, you know, you look really hot in that shirt you were wearing. And it was hilarious because you put her on the spot. She handled it really well, but she was kind of like, you know,
Shirley Phelps Roper.
Phelps, that's it. That was one of the best interviews I've ever heard of a nutcase right wing religious freak. It was the daughter, Phelps. I can't remember her first name.
Shirley Phelps Roper.
And
And she was the daughter.
Thank you for remembering that. That brings up a wonderful memory.
Well, I'm gonna have to go get a bottle of rye whiskey and kill that brain cell.
It was great. And just when you just, like, quote unquote, undressed her in a sense, because you're like, oh, that low cut dress, that low cut shirt you were wearing and everything, you're pretty hot. It was so funny because she handled it well, but you laid it out and just made her look ridiculous. And it was great.
Well,
and
whenever I think of you, I think
of that interview. Seminal.
I really appreciate that. I really do. Yeah, her old man was the kingpin of that whole organization. Her daddy, Phelps. Oh, that was a group. I think they're still at it.
Yeah, but they've fallen off. I mean, he went on to his eternal home of reverse pineapples in hell. Fred Phelps did. And
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, and you know, he was a fascinating man because. What he was an actually, he was a good lawyer. And so what he did.
They all went to law school.
Yeah. And so what Fred Phelps did is he made a career, you know, he started up his gospel hustle. And then he made a career out of suing people who offended his church and getting civil rights settlements. Which always come with, wait for it, attorney's fees. And
yeah.
that's how he funded the graft and the grift that was Westboro Baptist.
Well, bless your little pea-picking heart for remembering that. I'll tell you what, that was just about out the sight of my memory. That makes me laugh.
Oh, and you know, they had this hustle. They had this hustle where they would go and protest military funerals.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say that. It was, yeah, they would go and they would protest the funerals, which was insane. But they kind of just faded away, thank goodness.
Holy crap. I just got a note from Jeremy in Vermont. Looks like they called Georgia for Biden.
Yes.
No way.
Okay. But anyway, no New York way. Times. New York Times called West Virginia for Trump.
Well, yeah. A minute ago, MSNBC was at West Virginia.
Senator Warnock is way up. He's up to like 40%. Then again, if Lieberman would have bowed out, he may have been able to take it.
But you know what? Biden's not doing well in Florida, according to the New York Times.
But if he gets Georgia, it's not really going to matter.
Okay, this is all over the place because
Pennsylvania, there's big cities in Florida. It's going to take a long time to count those.
No, actually, they're first, and Miami-Dade is where he didn't do well, as they say, way worse than expected.
Well, yeah. But MSNBC is saying Biden 50.3%, Trump 48.8% in Florida.
Okay, well, these guys are saying 50.2 for Biden. Oh, but, Florida, 48.9 for Trump. But the thing is, the Democrats' votes get counted first, only because they're more likely to mail in and vote early in Miami-Dade. That's what they're saying. So, as you say, it's all over the place. I'll leave it at that.
I think it's going to turn on Pennsylvania.
Well, no, Georgia's a big deal.
Oh,
if they're
God.
Calling
and that's if you'll hold on a minute, because. Wait till you hear the numbers. And Steve from Georgia Stan, you're there. Jeremy's note to me says it looks like CNN is calling Georgia for Biden. Biden 67%, Trump 37%.
This New York Times says 52-47.
Yes. Oh my God.
Turn on the local news. They're calling Biden.
Really, in Georgia?
I don't know. I just asked my wife to turn on the local news.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Lou. I was confusing. Yeah. I should have muted first, but y'all got me excited. I'm not thinking.
No.
It's not all good.
Hammer, check it out. We need to know.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, back to the devil. The devil was in the rye bottle. Jack in Shreveport said, the devil is in the handheld electrically powered appliances. Includes especially power tools. Assumes the rye whiskey of the spoken conversation. Yes. And games with guns and also where rye whiskey is concerned, games with guns and knives are not advisable.
Or lawnmowers.
Oh man.
Jack also said, and Tracy, you'll want to know this. Joy Reid's attire is some form of the costumes from the Black Panther movie.
We got Virginia for Biden. Virginia for Biden, according to the New York Times. 13 electoral votes.
I want to see this. I can't.
Not unexpected.
No.
Bob, can I squeeze something into Mr. Guy James real quick?
Oh, absolutely. I was expecting you to. I couldn't imagine you were going to go through this conversation without you saying howdy, howdy guy.
I mean, I've been such
I'm not answering anything that'll incriminate me. I just let you know that right off the bat.
Yeah, a long time ago, you turned me onto a song called "Hard Times Will Come to Me No More" by Stephen Foster. You sang it, then you played a rendition of it. I think it may have been Emmylou Harris, but that song is timeless. It still stands up today, and it was written, what, over 100 years ago?
Long time ago. That's right. That's a long time ago.
What a great song, and there's no copyright on it, so my band, we went and did it, and everywhere we did it, it was a smash. Everybody loved it.
Well, Emmylou did it pretty well. Of course, Emmylou, I love Emmylou. Emmylou could do no wrong in my book.
You want to get
I ever called, by the way. So I have the utmost respect for you, sir.
You got a fan, guy. You are much missed from the internet radio waves.
Yes, big time. I used to make it a point to come home every Saturday. I could be at the lake, wherever. Got to go listen to Guy.
Oh man.
Yeah. Seriously, that's back in the dial-up.
Those were fun days. No question about it. Bob, I don't know if you remember. We all got called Hardman. My memory's failing me. What's the gal from Miami that had to show?
Oh, Randy Rhodes, Hartman, Malloy Randy. Was there. You were there.
Yeah. We got called in for a meeting at the Capitol building. And the story was that it was going to pick somebody to go on Air America at the time, but they hadn't decided yet. And so I walked into that room, and Tom and I were talking. Anyway, Randy came over and said to both of us, said, "You see that asshole sitting over in the corner?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "You know who that is?" I said, "No." She said, "That's the guy that's going to get this job. Mark my word. His name is Ed Schultz." And sure enough, the rest is history. He did get that job.
He had the inside track.
He sure did. What's her name's husband?
Debbie Stabenow.
I can't think of it.
Tom Athens.
Yeah, Tom Athens. Tom Athens. I know at least one other person he did this to. He called me in a room and said, "Now don't you worry, guy. We ain't gonna let funding for your show die. Don't you worry. You're gonna be." And he told somebody else that too. He was just a big mouth. Don't know what ever happened to him.
Well, yeah, things are looking really bad in Florida. I'm watching Majority Report on my other phone with the closed caption on, and it's looking bad.
Kyle said Biden's not going to win Florida. Trump picked up a lot of votes in Miami-Dade, and the panhandle hasn't been counted yet, so got to win Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Arizona, and we still got this. Well,
and
Guy, you can probably speak to this. There has been, it's been like a curse. Those cranky old hardcore reactionary anti-Castro Cubans. I mean, Castro's been gone how long?
Yeah.
And they're still voting Republican.
Yeah.
Because they're mad that Castro took away some of their ill-gotten gains, and they decided to flee to the United States.
Well, even further. I mean, you could. I have a Cuban friend down there who's just rabidly pro-Trump, and I just wonder, you know, in Trump's world, is he part of the white supremacy group? you know, it just shocks me sometimes. The thing
isn't the leader of the Proud Boys? Isn't he Cuban?
Yeah, I think he is.
I think he is. Right. Yeah.
He lives in Florida.
So, you know, I just shocks me. But
Proud Boys, Jesus.
Well, we still have Pennsylvania.
Oh, I don't think it's quite as dire as you're describing.
I'm sorry.
I wouldn't write Florida off just yet. I mean, there's a long way to go.
We also have Michigan. We have. I mean, I really think Michigan's going to go for Biden. Sure.
Yeah.
They say 70% of Florida's counted, Steve. But
really? Well, did you see what happened in Ohio? It's like it was 61% Biden. I mean, I know it's really early, but that's amazing.
I have less than 1% counted in Ohio.
In the bigger cities.
Carnacki's going county by county. There he's doing Lee County again. 57-48.
Maybe in Ohio, Jeffrey's vote will be the one to turn a blue.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, Florida's not going to turn this election, I don't think.
I don't either.
And I'm still, you know, and we'll probably be talking about it when I come back in the 10 o'clock hour. But, you know, Texas. If Texas and Georgia both go, that's like being taken out behind the barn and beaten with an axe handle if you're a Republican.
Yeah,
I just think it's going to be PA.
Oh, and there's 15 minutes left in the program, and I have to send out big thank yous to Mark, who got us down to $25 to go on Yuki's election night challenge. So there's $25 remaining, and that challenge is met. Thank you so much to Yuki, and thank you so much to Mark and to Faith.
I got
Faith.
25 on that, Bob.
Well, Tracy, thank you very kindly. Then we're done.
Trace.
Woo!
Woo-hoo. Thanks, Tracy.
And thank you,
Faith. Hey, Bob. For the roster for tonight, you're taking a break for an hour, so we're going to hear we're going to hear Malloy from last night, and then you're coming back on.
No. Malloy is fresh. Malloy is me.
Oh, okay, cool. So as soon as this ends, Malloy's going to kick in. It will be you.
No, Malloy starts at 9.
Right. Okay.
So I'm going to take an hour. We are out of kerosene, and it's getting cold here. So I'm going to run, get 5 gallons of kerosene, get back. Malloy will run at 9, and then I'll be back on the air at 10.
Awesome. Okay, wait, on the horn. Okay, cool.
And here. Yeah, this doesn't stop either. Just I know it's kind of muddy, but the Porsche doesn't stop, does it, Duncan?
No. It's going to keep rolling.
It doesn't stop until the last man is gone.
Right. That's what I thought. I just wanted to throw that out there.
And I just got a note from Mark, Guy, you'll probably amen this. Cuban trumpanzees, Cuban maggots. Mark says they're pissed off about Kennedy non-support of the Bay of Pigs invasion and also Elian Gonzalez. Even the younger Cubans.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're Elian kidding. Gonzalez?
Yeah.
Please.
Long aggrieved memories.
We can do this thing without Florida. Man, I know it sounds impossible, but it can be done.
It's not like they've got a lock on it, though, because, for instance, today in Graham, North Carolina, there was a group that was going to march for racial justice because a few days ago when they tried to march, the cops just came in and pepper sprayed the hell out of them, including a 5-year-old child.
Yeah, that's all.
Ann Jones said, I was unable to vote that day. I was sprayed 4 times. I'm not going to say a lot more than that, but say that that was unnecessary for innocent children and people that are elderly to be sprayed down or hosed down with some kind of chemical agent. It's nothing but voter intimidation, you know, done by the cops.
Oh, my God.
And the police department and the sheriff's department both said, well, you know, they weren't following proper marching procedures. They didn't follow the rules. They had a permit to march.
Yep.
And so today,
they did.
And by way of my point, so today they marched again, And lo and behold, they were met by white North Carolinians carrying, come on, the Confederate flag.
No.
Yeah. And at one point in time, they made a big production out of stomping on a Black Lives Matter flag.
Oh.
Mm.
And one cranky old pasty-faced white dude was on the video hollering, get the pepper spray back out!
Oh, my
God. It looks like they've called West Virginia for Trump, Bob, which you predicted, but Virginia for Biden.
Yeah, well, they're a little late on that. I mean, they could have called that 2 or 3 days ago. I mean, I called the Senate race here shortly after the primary closed.
Well, Franklin and County, Cuyahoga County in Ohio are both called for Biden, so that's good. That's good.
That is wonderful.
Great news.
Yeah, but going back to the Cuban selective memory, it's like, do any of them remember Jimmy Carter giving 145,000 refugees asylum?
You got it, man. Jimmy Carter? Yeah.
Travel.
If Carter had treated them like Trump is treating the people at the border for the past 4 years, can you imagine that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know,
good point, Chris.
Yeah.
Huh. Delaware County in Ohio is big for Biden.
Oh, and by the way, earlier Jeremy jumped in with 446. He said, see what I've done here? 446. Ah. Yes, I see what you did there. That's cowbell worthy. And Freight Train Frank said, how about a cowbell for today's financial contributors? Damn right, a cowbell. Thank you. Good idea, Frank. So,
hello.
Let's see here.
Sam.
Looks like.
Hey, did somebody say Delaware?
Yes, Delaware.
Did somebody say Delaware County?
Yeah.
Went to Biden. Whoa, that's maggot country. Woo! That's huge.
Mahoning County up at Youngstown. That's big
if
for Biden
Delaware
right
County
now.
County went for Biden. Ohio's in a good place.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be insane.
Yeah.
And also, Ohio got
great some. Indicator.
Yeah, I like what I'm seeing there in Ohio. That's surprising to me.
Yeah, me too.
Of course, the Confederate part of Kentucky hasn't really come in yet.
Or Ohio, I guess.
I see what you did there, Bob.
You know, I don't know. It's like the old Pennsylvania. The Alabama part of Ohio hasn't come in yet.
Well, Ohio's been hanging out with Indiana way too much. Like, they really need to separate.
It's a dysfunctional relationship.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pull this country over and separate those two.
Put a big river in between them or something.
Yeah. So,
can I say something to Guy James really quick?
Oh yeah, go Faith, sure.
Because I found, well, we found Tom first, and this was probably about 16 years ago. It's kind of crazy. And then we found Mike, and then we found Guy James, and then he did this wonderful, wonderful show. Like, it was about 9/11 and just some other stuff. Like, just, it was so fantastic that we listened to it like 3 or 4 times. And then I sent it to all my friends to check it out. And we've been fans ever since. Like, thank you so much, Guy. Thank you.
Well, thank you. My gosh. Those were wonderful times because there were a lot of wonderful people that I got to stay in touch with all the time, and that was always very special to me.
Yeah, well, we so appreciate.
And you did a Memorial Day tribute from a progressive standpoint that would make the hair on your neck stand up.
Yeah,
that was legendary.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so many. Well, that was so great.
Well, Bob, I'm gonna jump off here and let you guys finish up this top of the hour here.
All right. Well, Guy, it was an absolute joy having you along. And as you can tell, people are tickled to pieces to hear from you.
Yeah. Thanks, Guy.
Well,
awesome.
Your listeners are my kind of people. I mean, I've always known that. The horn people are my kind of people.
Well, listen, you take care of yourself, guys, and don't be such a stranger. Right. And if things get weird in Florida, you know I expect to hear back from you, right?
All right, that's right.
All right, you take care, Guy James.
All right, Guy.
All right.
Stay safe.
Good night, everyone.
Bye now.
Keep your toes and fingers crossed, Guy, and any of the other extremities you got.
Here, here.
Keep them crossed.
Nobody like Guy James. I mean, one of a kind.
He's a legend, man. He is a legend.
It's too bad we couldn't get John Britovo and his crew to chime in. I understand.
They're live as we are.
Yeah, they're live. Yeah, that's right, Sparky.
Can't cross communicate, but it'd be a little cluttered, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how we'd go about it, but it'd be damn fun. Sparky, is he going to go all night?
I think he will, as long as people are in there. He's on YouTube.
That's too bad.
Yeah,
I mean,
Sparky, I was watching him for a bit.
But you know, this Discord app that they use is different, totally different to Skype. It's weird.
You know what, Sparky? What do you think of Discord? I downloaded it, but I haven't really embraced it. What do you think of it in terms of platform? Just curious.
Well, it's a little hard to figure out at first, but
okay.
I had the same problem.
You got to find his group, and then you join that group, and then everything works out after that. But I don't like it because it's so pervasive. It's when you start your computer up, it pops up every time.
Oh, it sounds like freaking Dropbox. And
well, but you can choose the setting not to have it run startup.
Sure, you control alt delete, click startup tab, and uncheck it. It's gone. It won't do that to you anymore.
Yeah, well, I just download the program when any time I want to get on there.
Well, there's that. You always got an updated version that way.
But I don't have it on this machine in the house. I think I got it still on the machine out in the man cave.
You know, I'm looking at this Apple News Spotlight. I don't know if anybody else is looking at it from Apple News. I think it's through Washington Post. They're showing Biden having the lead in Florida.
Yeah, MSNBC is doing the same thing.
Right, yeah. So who knows, you know?
I think it's hard to count all the big cities right now. You know, like, I mean, usually the big cities come in later and they tend, usually, maybe not Miami, but they tend to be more Democratic.
You're right, Faith. Yeah, absolutely. I see that in Connecticut all the time. South Carolina, apparently, they're calling that from.
Chicago was always the last because it was, like, so huge.
Yeah. What's this little... Virginia... And and of course, this is just what we're seeing on Apple News, Bob, is just physical walk-ins, right? Polling and vote. We're not even really looking at absentee ballots, correct? So
that's not entirely clear.
Okay.
Because there were a few states that weren't allowed, like Pennsylvania. The reason Pennsylvania is such a pain in the ass, and hopefully maybe someday they'll get some responsible fucking government and deal with this, is that they're not allowed to start counting anything until 7 a.m. on the day of, and they can't tabulate and they can't announce, and I get the announcing part, but they're hamstrung in that regard. Other states, I mean, West Virginia, we'll have an answer on all our races by the end of the night, because the things have been counted in advance. You know, they're right. They're ready to go as a batch, and they're just added into the totals when the polls close.
Well, so far I'm seeing on the Apple News Spotlight, Biden 16 EC votes, Electoral College votes, Trump 22. And I'm fine with the fact that Biden is behind, because usually that means he'll.
But it's also to be expected based on when the polls closed and what came in. And, you know, the first state they called for him was Talibandiana. Like, that was a challenge.
Totally.
You know, he came, as far as I was concerned, he started the race plus 5 electoral votes just for West Virginia and maybe 9 for Alabama.
Watch him come trotting out at 8:30. I won. It's over. Anything else? It's rigged.
Yeah, stop counting ballots. I won Kentucky.
All the big cities haven't, you know, counted their votes yet. I won it.
Who was it last night, Bob? Was it Steve from New York talking about Dixville Notch in Vermont?
I think that was me too.
Five votes all went for Biden. So you know what? The microcosm might be representative of the macrocosm.
You know, in the era of Trump, as goes Dixville, so goes the nation.
So perfect.
It's kind of like something our pal. It's kind of like something our buddy Joy in Ann Arbor said after he declares himself the winner, fraudulently. Which dictator do you think will call Trump first to congratulate him? And I answered and said, Pootie. Always Pootie. You never forget your first dick. Tater.
I'm sure, Bob, did you see that pic of Pootie with the wink?
Oh my God. You know, yes. It made my.
Yeah.
Wasn't good. I'll be in therapy. You know,
like Nancy said, you know, all roads are all, everything leads back to Pootie. Putin. Yeah. Pootie. Oh yeah!
All right, no. So I got to wrap up because I got to run an errand, and we got to do Malloy. And then I'll be back at 10. If you know, I'm going to be sober and everything. So,
Alabama, Mississippi has been called for Trump.
And no, so has damn. Kansas. I had $100 on both states to go Biden.
Oklahoma. Hopefully on 1,000-to-1 odds.
South Carolina, Tennessee, Oklahoma.
Yeah, the Confederacy's Alabama. Coming in.
Yeah, South Carolina. Mm-hmm.
And it's 49.6 to 49.5 in Florida.
Indiana is leaning towards Trump. Sadly.
Yeah, because they're the shithole.
Wait. Indiana's leaning toward Trump? They called Talibandiana a long time ago.
No, I think, wait a minute, because it's an orange dot. Indiana. It's orange. Yeah, Trump lead as now it's flipped in Florida to a Trump lead. And yeah, so has
MSNBC is showing a 0.1 percentage point lead in Florida.
It's tight. And same thing with Indiana. Trump lead at this point.
Well, no, I mean, they called Darlene, they called Talibandiana for Trump eons ago. That was the first state they called for him.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I got to get out of here. The conversation, of course, continues. And if you're listening and you'd like to participate, well, you know, jump on in. You're mighty welcome.
Texas.
And again, I'll be back live and we'll keep this going after 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Till then, thanks so much, Tracy and Mark and Jeremy, and thank you, Faith. Thank you very kindly for meeting Yuki's challenge this evening. That's tremendously helpful. And thanks to all of you who keep the program going with your subscriptions via PayPal, Patreon, your a la carte contributions. Thank you so very much. Thank you for participating by the U.S. Postal Service. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky and the Old Holler Tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa. Again, I'll be subbing for Malloy at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Even if things come out the way we want them to this evening, don't be running out in the streets partying. Stay safe, stay home. It's not getting better, it's getting worse, the Dondemic. By all means, if you do have to go out, wear your mask, wear your gloves, wash your hands, don't touch your face, carry hand sanitizer with you, maintain your social distance, not 6 feet, but more like 10, 15, or even 20, because this virus spreads a lot more broadly than we even thought. And we've got Paul from Parts Unknown to thank for wising us up on that. And of course, if somebody comes your way saying, get the pepper spray back out, avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Back in a bit, y'all, except on the podcast. Later, y'all, on the podcast.